Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 187. Is that correct, Pat?
I didn't double check.
Okay, yeah. I didn't double check it like I normally do. No, we'll keep stumbling on. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Sue Teller,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam,
Rich,
and Colin.
It's good to have you here, Sue.
Glad you might have met you today.
I hope you brought your wood burning kit.
I did. It's all about kittens and anarchy tonight.
30 seconds in and it's already downhill.
Feel free to pause the podcast and search Sue Teller.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
It's worth it.
Adam introduced us to this yesterday.
And Josh apparently just changed his name.
I did.
We'll call you Sue from now on.
It's 2015.
Boy named
Sue. Boy named Sue.
Boy.
Got a podcast name already.
Fair enough. Poor Debbie.
Oh,
Pat, go
podcast.
For the news.
Okay.
Yeah, now you're in trouble. You want me to edit?
That's a nice watch, Colin.
Okay, starting with the teaser for Jessica Jones was released.
What was that?
Can you call that a teaser?
Well,
it's the intro credits, I think.
Yeah, that's kind of what I took from it.
Like an inkblot.
But we did get a premiere date of November 20th. But we did learn a few things. She is going to work for Alias Investigations. She's going to be a heavy drinker. And I think there was some purple in there, too.
Yeah.
She lives in apartment 13. And you shouldn't trust her.
Could be.
She's in that show.
Yeah. And we know Luke Cage will be in it, too. So there's a reason to watch. And then, actually, they started filming...
Wait, you wouldn't have watched it if Luke Cage wasn't in it?
Probably not.
Really? I feel like Daredevil earned whatever show they want to put on Netflix.
Okay, no, granted, I'll give it that. And you're right about that, where it probably... But just on its own, I don't think Jessica Jones would really hold my interest.
That David Tennant is the Purple Man?
Yeah, that already sold it for a moment.
But just the character of Jessica Jones, not exactly, you know, my favorite Marvel character. But when you start adding in Luke Cage, I'm like, okay, well, I can deal with this.
It's more of the least of your interest of the four.
Yeah, I feel like even...
I get you. And you're not that used to David Tennant too much either.
No, I don't watch Doctor Who, so... I do know he was... Barty Crouch Jr.
Yeah,
though,
and Harry Potter.
I feel like after Daredevil, any show that Netflix wants to do with a Marvel character, even if they're a Marvel character that I don't care about, I would watch and probably enjoy.
Squirrel Girl.
I would check out a Squirrel Girl show to see how they would do it.
Especially if it was a TVMA, yeah, I'd be all about that.
You like Tails?
What?
To see how they're going to earn that rating? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, otherwise they'd put it on ABC. Anyway.
It's a nice watch, Pat.
Pat likes squirrels.
Okay. Oh, glide over those currents.
Yep. Okay, so
Josh,
moving on.
Josh, the great derailer tonight.
I got a couple...
I didn't say the Squirrel Girl thing. That was all him.
You brought it up, not me.
Yeah, actually, Colin brought it up.
Oh, yeah.
But you said you would watch anything on Netflix.
Kyle, well,
that was relevant to the topic.
It's a nice watch.
It's not even a watch. So
why are you so defensive? It was a compliment.
Yeah, first I get ripped on for being, when I'm not here, for being mean to you. I'm trying to give you a compliment. Just take the compliment.
Yeah, nice watch.
Can Pat continue his news now?
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, couple DC Comics things. First off, the Gods and Men one-shots... They're apparently changing the name to Darkseid War.
Good.
Because apparently no one understood that those were tie-ins.
Well, I had no idea.
The problem calling it Gods and Men a month after Gods and Monsters,
that was
a horrible name. I get what they're saying. The gods are fighting, and then they're the men. I get that, but releasing it so close to Gods and Monsters, people are ordering it, I'm sure, ordered it like a Gods and Monsters tie-in.
That could be,
realizing it was a Dark Side War.
I honestly thought it was tied with Gods and Monsters.
Yeah, I think that was a horrible decision.
But, you know, and I've said this before, maybe not here, but I know we've talked about this before. With the exception of Batman...
We don't record every conversation.
No, I don't. With the exception of Batman, all the DC characters are pretty much gods to begin with.
Pretty much.
Hero,
especially after Grant Morrison's.
Well, but he's not part of the Justice League. If you take like the core of the Justice League, they're pretty much already gods. So it's
in the DC sense of the word gods.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
very close to new gods. Anyways, they all have their powers and whatnot. Yeah.
And then the last thing I got, also DC Comics.
Boo.
Yeah.
DC. Boo.
We're going to rip on DC here, and they deserve it. DC does have a nice watch.
A real nice watch, DC. Real nice watch.
Yeah.
They are canceling some titles. Doomed, Justice League United, Lobo, Gotham by Midnight, Omega Men, Lost Army. Or Green Lantern, Lost Army. Now... Even 3 months ago, they kind of went back and said, no, all these new titles are going to get 12 issues, and here we have Omega Men, Doomed, and Lost Army being canceled. So that's not good at all.
I get if a book is not selling at all, that you can't keep, taking a loss on it. But don't make such a big deal. Don't make such a big deal about how you're going to give them a 12-issue commitment, and then
They're going to cancel it. They're going to 6.
No, I get that, they had to make that decision at 4.
I wonder how
Lost Army,
Green Lantern.
Yeah, Lost Army confuses me only because I can't believe it was selling that poorly to get canceled. And that's why I said that I did have a thought of, is it a case of maybe they're not going to be the Lost Army anymore, and then it'll be the next Green Lantern Corps.
Well, the other thing is the Green Lantern title is tied into...
kind of survives...
Yeah.
It was planned around this.
Yeah, so I wonder what it's going to do to that book. Mm-hmm. Now,
that changed his whole entire plan of what he was writing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a... he has 2 issues now to wrap up whatever part of that storyline is. And, I mean, there's plenty to do because he still has the gauntlet and you can do other things with it. But at the end of the last issue, he was going off to go find the rest of the Corps.
And this makes me much less confident that we're going to see that second volume of Prez at some point as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I really do not like this.
This goes back. I think it just goes back to the whole thing. They didn't market this event very well. Or this whole launch very well.
Well, okay. I have 2 thoughts on that. Unlike Marvel, they gave you... an 8-page preview. Now, I granted,
but they put them in the back of
And that's where I was going to go with it. They put them in the back of books that were not really related in some cases, and not necessarily looking for the same audience.
And a lot of them are just bad.
Yeah. But, I know you were reading Omega Man, but you had said the first issue was bad.
Not bad. First issue was just a bit slow.
Yeah.
But it has gotten really good since then. And every issue has been better. And it's probably one of my favorite books every month now. Okay. Like, it has such a unique story to it and feel, and a very cinematic way that they present it. I love the book. I'm really sad to see that one go. Gotham at Midnight, I loved it for a while, and I even love the art change, but I didn't like that the stories were starting to really rely on the Spectre a lot.
Okay.
So,
and I could see that was not a book that I ever thought was going to go more than 12 issues anyway.
That one dropped tremendously after Temple Smith.
Okay. Because,
I mean, Juan Ferreira, his art's great, but Temple Smith's art is so unique. And I think a lot of people probably got that book just because of his art. So no matter who was on after him, I don't think it was going
to maintain
the audience.
To follow. Lobo, I'm not surprised.
No.
That's actually outlasted. I think it's...
Yeah, I think that was that went beyond
I think
what
they
I thought
really,
it was
going really
to.
Tried to make that one work, and it just didn't.
Doomed? I mean, that's another one where it was kind of a high-concept book that I don't think they gave a chance to.
Well, like again, I like the first one, but it was another problem where they just didn't explain it well.
Yeah.
Their pitches for these were poor. Like, Prez, a book I love, was girl gets elected president via Twitter. Well, no, that's not what happened, and that's not the crux of the book. And I realize you got to do an elevator pitch, but
yeah,
that was not good.
I think they
could have good.
Sold it a lot better with explaining the world that she lived in.
Well, yeah. I think the other problem is DC, especially now, writes for trades. So you're looking at six-issue arcs, whereas before where you would have two- and three-issue arcs, you could have given it, say, a six-issue arc off the top and then made your decision, okay, we're canceling this, and then, okay, you're still in production. You have 2 months to essentially tie up any loose ends and write that way, but they're not going to do that because they want to sell a six-issue trade.
Yeah.
And I think it's unfortunate.
It is.
You know, DCU has really tried to find something for everybody.
Yeah.
And they have to be commended for that.
Now, let's be honest. The main, like, the books that really embrace the concept behind DCU are still around. I mean, things like Black Canary, Batgirl, Dr. Fate, those sorts of, you know, books that really hit different demographics. The only one that was, like, to me, just, you know, a very unique book was just the Omega Man. Like, there was nothing else like it, I thought, from DC that got canceled.
Yeah.
But it might have been so out there that it just didn't have a chance to get any traction. Because it's thrown out there, well, what is Omega Man? I don't know, something from the 80s with Lobo. You know, there was no explanation. And sadly, that's another one where if the Omega Man had appeared in a couple of issues of Green Lantern or even New Guardians or something, where they came from spinning out of, and I think that's a problem when with both companies, where they just throw something out there without having any build-up. Like right now, we're from Marvel, we're getting this Gwenpool.
Yeah.
Whose first appearance is going to be on a second print cover of Deadpool. Secret Wars, number 2.
Yeah.
And then she's going to be backup stories in Howard the Duck, but they're already making her out to be the biggest character ever. And I'm going, how do I order this? Does anybody really care? Nobody even knows what she is.
Yeah.
And it's just...
But, you know, and going back to them writing for trades, here's the other problem. So, let's say I didn't pick up issue 1 or 2. I go to my local comic book shop, and they're out because you didn't know how to order the Omega Man, so you ordered what you ordered. And I also know, you know, a lot of the stores had the return stuff, so you may have already sent it back. Well, now you've canceled the book, but maybe when the trade comes out, I'm like, oh, this is really good. I wish this would have continued. And that's why I'd like the idea that they originally said, we're going to give it 12 issues to see where it goes, because that gives people a chance to read the first trade or to read at least 2 arcs in single issues and make a determination. Is this a good book? Is it not a good book? We've talked about this before. I typically don't want to drop a book until it gets through the first trade, because the first issue, it's like a pilot TV, you know, on a TV series. Between episode 1 and episode 2, a lot can change.
You can't drop a book. Like, that's how I am with it, with an art.
Unless that book is a vegetative injustice.
Yes. Well, yeah, and that's, I mean, and I've said that before, too. Colin can sell me issue 1 of any book, but that book has to sell me issue 2.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess that's part of the problem. Like you say, with Omega Man, it wasn't as good as it could have been.
It wasn't the quality of
say, the other books. So, you know, you probably had some people jump off after issue 1 and never picked up 2.
Well,
and that's a problem.
And the thing is, you can't judge a story by the first issue really too much, because, like, you have to judge it by an arc, just because that's how books are written anymore. And, you know, if you want to, you judge it by the story
that
they're giving you within an arc.
That first issue can give you a taste of what their hook is, and if that doesn't work for you, then you know.
Well, and the other thing is, like, with Wonder Woman, we know who Wonder Woman is. And I get the idea behind every comic book is someone's first comic book. But
that's a Stan Lee.
I get the concept that, you know, that might be the first time you pick up a Wonder Woman book, and that might have turned you off to it. But you can still go back and read, you know, the other stuff, and there's enough of a following. But with some of these smaller books like the Omega Men or you know, where the history's not as well known, or Secret Six, where it's not as well known, that first issue has to grab the audience or else it's going to fail.
Let me ask you this, Colin. After Convergence, did you see a drop in your other DC books as well, like the main books?
Green Lantern dropped a little, but that's been kind of dropping since John's left. From, you know, its height.
I'd say Aquaman.
Aquaman's been dropping a little. Wonder Woman, slowly. Yeah,
I just wonder if you had anyone that, with that 2-month break.
No, I didn't really notice anybody going, I'm not coming back. No.
I can't imagine anybody doing that over Convergence anyway, because
I could see someone who's like teetering, deciding, 2 months, no books.
See, I'm far more worried about Marvel.
Secret Wars will
taking 5 months off.
Marvel can do no wrong, though.
Well, maybe how they market these books, that seems to work for them. Well, I can't see how it is, because they keep having to restart it.
Marvel's marketing is far
superior
than DC's. Mm-hmm. DC does a terrible job with marketing their stuff.
But the problem with Marvel is they get so far ahead to where...
Well, yeah, they're sort of marketing the second issues of their books now.
Well, I'm okay with that, and that makes sense.
The first issues haven't
even... No, I get that, but I mean, that makes sense. You're going to market... Yeah. That, but
they're just trying to prove they're going to have number twos instead of just a new number one, a series of ones.
We're not even at this point. We're barely halfway through Secret Wars, and it was something that started back in January. I think was when we got the first announcement.
What number are we on?
Five of nine.
It's October soon.
Five of nine should have been eight. So, we're halfway through this thing that we've been talking about now for 10 months. That's a little far ahead, you know.
But notice, they're not talking about it anymore.
No, they're not. But, that's kind of a problem, too. But
the marketing
I think
off the pizza. That's what happened.
Yeah. When the incursion happened, unfortunately, Marvel's headquarters, it didn't make it on the raft.
It's because Breedlove was so hungry that day.
Always got to make the joke.
Yep.
Poor guy.
So... You know, I am disappointed. Lost Army, I thought was a decent concept. I like the idea of seeing Kronos in a different light and Relic in a different light.
It just surprised me that for, 3 years, they could sustain 47 different Green Lantern books, and now they have... That's an exaggeration, Pat.
No, but there was six. There were six
at
one time.
You're thinking about, like, how...
I know there... But, there were six at one time.
But now, with... 3 Green Lantern books, one of them gets a cut 6 issues early.
Now there's only 1 Green Lantern book.
Yeah.
So it's a little disappointing.
Unless you wanted to consider Omega Man a Green Lantern book since it had Kyle Rayner in it, but...
Yeah, but was it really a Green Lantern book?
Nah,
or was loosely. It just a book, you wouldn't count Justice League as a Batman book, even though it has Batman in it.
Yeah.
I think people were just hoping it was going to be accepted as a Green Lantern book. I think that's why they really put Kyle
But it
Rayner
wasn't presented that way.
No, it wasn't. Yeah.
And, I could even see them...
Well, except for that backup and the Convergence issues. Which
but
I
it wasn't as a Green Lantern book. Yeah.
I think that's what they were trying to give it away as in that. But again, you can't sell a book to a bunch of people, new readers especially, and a book that they were never going to pick up.
Yeah.
You know, my question is, what is DC going to replace this with? Because I doubt they're not going to replace these books.
Well, they have those mini-series books coming out soon. And
but those were all announced months ago.
Yeah, so. And they have those three new books that are spinning out of Convergence.
But those are only 6-issue minis.
No, not those. The
Telos and the Lost Titan and Lois and Clark.
Yeah,
those were all 6 issues.
I thought those were ongoing.
No.
Yeah, I didn't know they were. I didn't remember.
I'm pretty sure they were all 6-issue minis.
I think
minis.
Those three are ongoing. Telos might be mini-series, but... The Titan Hunter one and Lois and Clark or Lois Superman, whatever it is. I think that's an ongoing as well.
Okay. And then in January we had...
But then like...
The Metal,
Metal
Men.
Swamp Thing, all of that.
Yeah, those are... All, yeah, those I know are those were all minis.
But whereas, we said that DC would just throw out a book without any sort of, introduction to those characters. They also will introduce characters in like a main book like Justice League and then let them disappear forever. Like the Metal Men, until now we're getting this miniseries, Doom Patrol. Shazam with his fantastic backups, and then still no book.
Yeah. Although he is getting a one-shot for the Gods and Men.
Yeah, but that's that'd be the perfect character to do, like a, you know, Batgirl-toned book.
No, I said that when they announced all the DC books. I'm disappointed there wasn't a Shazam book.
Yeah.
So is 6 going to be the end, or is it going to be in the next preview that they're ending it?
They're out in December. So seven. I think that one's going to 7.
Okay.
So I guess it'll just be a 7-issue trade. Get one bonus.
Yeah, it doesn't... Oh, 12. Titan Sun 12. Telos doesn't say...
Is that of 12?
Lois and Clark doesn't say. Yeah, Titan's Hunt is 12.
Okay.
In theory.
Yeah.
That means nothing now.
Yep. Now
you asked for us to bash DC, well, you got it.
Just tell them it's a nice walk.
So anyway, that's what I got, Colin. That's the news.
Do we have any questions?
We do.
Although I think we kind of answered it.
Yeah, I think we did too.
Let me read it. I don't want to read it. I'm too tired. That's a nice watch.
Yeah, thank you.
At least you're saying it here and not when you're in the
question,
bathroom.
And it was mainly for you. It's all retailer stuff.
Okay. Hey guys, it's Zach from Texas again. Thanks for answering my question, and now I return with another one.
You're welcome.
I love to listen to Inside Baseball, so here it goes. As a retailer, have you seen an increase or decrease in pre-orders for all new, all different Marvel from the numbers prior to Secret Wars? I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said that all new, all different Marvel seems like a perfect jumping-off point for him, and I kind of agree. I don't see myself picking up any of the new team books, even though before I was picking up Avengers, New Avengers, and Uncanny X-Men. Most of the main solo titles are getting canceled. Moon Knight, Black Widow, Punisher, Loki... Only books returning for me are Daredevil, Ant-Man, and Ms. Marvel, though hopefully Black Widow and Punisher are getting restarted by a new creative team. The new X-Men books and Spidey books are pretty much DOA for me, except for Old Man Logan and maybe Miles Morales and Spider-Gwen, though I felt it fizzled out at the end of last time. But I'll be quick to drop them if I don't like them. Of the new books, only Red Wolf and Black Knight seem interesting to me, and perhaps Captain America, but I plan to have a really short leash on that title. All in all, I'm going into all new, all different Marvel, buying less books than I was prior to Secret Wars. Have you had any customer with similar comments? If so, do you see them in bigger numbers than the people that are excited for all new, all different Marvel? And whatever is the actual trend at your LCS, do you think it actually holds up at a national level amongst customers in LCS?
First, before you answer this question, you never heard the term inside baseball before, Adam?
No, I just didn't catch where that was going.
Okay. I don't get a lot of pre-orders. I never
think to pre-order comics with you.
Yeah.
Like, I always just think that, he's going to order enough.
Yeah, right. I'll have them.
Right.
I'll put it on my pull list of comicsology.
Which makes it tricky.
Do you prefer if we say...
Well, yeah, then I have numbers previous to go by, because I'm guessing, and all of a sudden, because that it was interesting, there was a thread, Jermaine from Acme Comics took questions, over the weekend was just taking questions, I think it was Monday, and somebody asked him about pre-ordering comics, and I saw him and another guy talking about it, and they were saying, you know, they shouldn't have to pre-order and stuff, and I'm like, no, you don't have to pre-order, but without a pre-order, you know, if I get something and nobody has asked for it, it's really hard to put a big number.
Yeah,
there, because I, you know, it doesn't have to be, oh, I need 20 pre-orders and I'll order 30, but if I have nobody asking for a book, it's really hard, you know, to order 50, and like nobody specifically asked for the new Spider-Man, nobody specifically asked for pretty much any of the Marvel ones, but I know that's not true, and I'm going to carry over the order numbers. If you were getting Spider-Man before, you're going to get Spider-Man again.
Yeah,
I'm assuming.
Probably not. I don't think so. No.
So it's just
still Dan Slott, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's all new, all different Dan Slott.
they replaced him with a different Dan Slott.
But it's tough. And then there's things like Fight Club that I had no idea how to order. How do you order to a sequel to a movie that came out 10 years ago? You know, and I know it was a book before that, but yeah. I'm just saying, so I have no idea. And my initial order was really small because nobody asked. But all of a sudden people, hey, could you hold that for me? Could you hold that for me? Okay, wow. All of a sudden I have 25 people asking for this book that I was only going to order 10. So all of a sudden then I put an order of 50, you know. And so, you know, there definitely are times, and especially if it's an oddball one, if it's a smaller title, definitely let me know you're interested, because I might only order two, and all of a sudden I have three people ask for it. When it comes in, I didn't know that. I only get the two, and I can't get any more.
Like,
you know?
Black Knight or Red Wolf, perhaps.
Well, no, but I'm thinking more like Old Wounds, yeah, or things like that, where all of a sudden, you know, it comes out and there are no more to be had.
Yeah.
You know, like We Can Never Go Home, luckily, has gone through three yeah, printings, but most of those small publishers, it's one and done. So definitely. Yeah, they're doing a second printing on that. Luckily, I was able to get more first prints from from the publisher. But, you know, it is tough, though. You know, all these X-Men books. Yeah. What's the one, or the Avengers one, where it's like the Runaways and Sunspot bought AIM? It's like, I have no idea if anybody is going to care about this book at all. I yeah, don't. I look at that and go, that looks stupid. But, you know, we'll see. But it's a big guess. But yeah, I do not feel the excitement. There is no real buzz. People really excited about it. It's more like, when's Spider-Man coming back? When's Captain America coming? You know, not, yeah, I can't wait for it to come back. It's just, is this over? So I'm seeing a lot of that. It's a lot more apathy. I'm hoping when it comes back, people are like, oh, good, you know, Thor's back, and jump back in the thing. But like I was saying before we started, was I've seen, you know, there's people I haven't seen since May. Because there hasn't been an Avengers book and an X-Men book, or, you know, there have been periodically, but still, once you break people of coming every week or every month,
that's,
you
hard,
know, now what happens if they found that Xbox game? Or
that's
now,
what I was wondering about Convergence, if yeah, the 2 months broke people
ahead. Well, you know, but I think because it was well known, it was, mm-hmm, this is exactly what's happening, boom, boom, boom. When we asked how many issues Planet Hulk was, we were told it lasts the duration of Secret Wars. And I'm like, oh, so that's now it's going till
it
December.
Ran too long.
Right, but I mean, now does it go to December?
Yeah.
You know, they won't tell. Is, you know, and you guys are telling me, oh, it's the last issue. Great, because yeah, they didn't tell me.
Yeah.
Some of these said of five. Some of them didn't say at all, and it's like, yeah, it backfired on them just in the sense of, you know, not telling people anything is bad, but now they don't care. They're already onto the new number ones, so they don't. You know, oh, we botched Secret Wars. I'm done with that 6 months ago. I don't even know what you're talking about. And, you know, because they're on, wait till you see, you know, Moon Knight number one coming out in January. Oh, okay. You know. So, yeah, I don't see the excitement. I'm hoping there's not a lot of jump offs, but I am very concerned because, like, I look at stuff where, like, Kitty Pryde and Star-Lord, I ordered exactly at my numbers for Star-Lord,
uh-huh,
and sold about half. And it's like, wow. So when Star-Lord comes back,
yeah,
what number do I go by? Do I go by what Star-Lord was selling, or do I go by what the Kitty Pryde and Star-Lord sold?
Well, let me tell you now that I'll be getting that book and okay, that book.
Eternal Warrior.
Well, I know you're getting the value. You have to. You're contractually obligated.
Fine.
I mean, I'm, as a consumer, I'm not really excited for all new, all different Marvel.
I'm still tired. Well, of all these relaunches.
Yeah,
and
that's a big part of it.
I feel like I like the characters, but I just don't care anymore.
Well, and I was... The other thing that's happening, and I was telling Colin this when you were out getting dinner. So, when I first started coming, after the relaunch of New 52, I was getting a couple Marvel books, and I was getting Batman and Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. That was it. And I started eventually getting more and more DC. And then, like, last week, I had seven different publishers I was getting.
Yeah.
And as Marvel has kind of pissed me off and you know, kind of they've taken away the characters I've loved and made other things, I've taken that dollar. Not that I've, you know, spent it on an Xbox game, but I found other titles I like. You know, Rebels and you know, Southern Bastards and Afterlife with Archie, if that ever comes back. So now, yeah, when all new, all different Marvel comes back, I have a choice to make. Do I drop some books I'm really liking to get titles I'm not really excited for that may not matter in 6 months anyway when they relaunch them? Or do I just don't worry about it.
Yeah, and even, like, you know, with the DC books that were dropped, I was reading four of those books. I'm probably not going to replace with four new, you know, DC books.
Right.
I'll try out things like Tokyo Ghost that came out today, and Paybacks, you know, yeah. I'll check that out. So I'll check out different stuff.
Yeah, one thing I did is because he has a second part to the question that we'll get to, but it was mostly about the DC canceling, and he basically just said, you know, can he trust them anymore?
Can you trust anybody?
Right. Well, my answer to him was, well, unfortunately for them, they now have bosses overlooking their shoulder that they didn't have before. I know it's not an excuse, but I think that's probably what led to...
When your boss is 3,000 miles away, you can get away with stuff.
Yeah, but the boss is still to okay them saying 12-issue commitments.
Or did they not say that, and now they're saying, well, no, we can't cancel it. I promised them 12 issues. And then they're saying, well, then you pay for it. Or, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a case of, I'm sure they didn't want to. But one of the things I did in anticipation of that was just looking at some of the Marvel books and... how many issues they actually made, and looking at Spider-Gwen went 5, Howard the Duck went 5, Squirrel-Girl went 8, Thor went 8, Spider-Woman went 10, Uncanny Avengers Volume 2 made it all of 5 issues, the all-new Captain America with, you know, Falcap made it all of 6 issues.
Yeah, but like I said, the difference is that if you were reading Spider-Gwen and liked it, you're getting the exact same creative team on that book
right
in a month or so. Uncanny Avengers was the exact same creative team. Just they wanted to bump up the sales with a new number one. Yeah. So it's not like they were canceling because they didn't have confidence in those books.
Well, and I think there's another difference here, too.
Planning.
But yeah, what I was going to say. Yeah. This is not...
This tells me it was poor planning. Why come out with Spider-Gwen if you're only going to go 5
exactly.
issues?
That's bonehead moves. But DC, it feels like they have
a
crisis of confidence.
Move, because they get... postpone the consumer.
Money. And something like Omega Man, hey, we tried it. You know, we had this neat idea for a story. We put it out there. You weren't buying it, you know.
I feel like if you give the axe before issue 6 has hit the shelf, you didn't really truly
give
try
it,
it though.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah, I agree. I think Marvel...
Well, they have order numbers through 6 because I've already ordered 6. So they know where it was going.
This is becoming... The only thing with Marvel is that it's becoming like a norm to restart every 6 months. And I don't think they ever come back exactly with the story that they're telling. They might keep the creative, but they're not coming back. So I feel like they get derailed somewhere in between. Like, we're going to have Spider-Man 2099.
Daredevil relaunched with...
Daredevil was the only one who continued the same story.
Captain Marvel relaunched the continuation the exact same
story. But why?
There's no point.
That's what I'm saying. They're not canceling.
Unless you know that, he can't get new readers because those are the new guys.
I'm just saying the only thing that has changed with these books is that number on the cover. The stories are the exact same.
Yeah,
you know,
but I mean, if it's not, I don't think there's too much difference.
So you're saying in the end of Secret Wars number one, where it said that was the end, you know, RIP Marvel Universe,
maybe
2015.
Maybe now it'll be different in some way, but it's not feeling like it's going to be.
Didn't Spider-Gwen's world get blown up?
Yeah. Well, but I mean, and even there, that has a whole different set of issues to where we're going to get all new, all different Marvel before Secret Wars ended, so it either gives away the ending.
But it's 8 months later, so it doesn't matter. It was going to give it away anyway.
In an interview with the creative team on her book, they said, we're going to have her world again with this new book.
It also...
recreated that?
So what's
It's also
different?
They've had this six... This how much? How many months?
I need
months?
To get my Secret Wars map to look
when is it. When is... How long Secret Wars been going?
Since May.
So, I mean, you've had that
Forever.
Big of a gap in between.
It's been going since May, but we've only had 5 issues. And 3
Peter...
of them were 3 weeks in a row.
That can't be. Marvel ships books every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They were.
I'm going to...
01 and 2 ship weekly.
Spider-Man 2099, for example, because the book not only was derailed by Spider-Verse, it was then now derailed by this event. So, basically, it's more than 6 months, probably, that this book... And now it's finally going to get back on start, but is it? Like, that's one of... I'm asking myself the same question where he was asking about DC. Can I trust them? Because I'm coming back, I give them the benefit of the doubt that these stories are going to continue, and they're going to give me some sort of entertainment that I'm paying for. And then in the end, this happens. Or it gets a number one. Or I have to assume that Marvel is going to say, yes, this number one is going to be it's going to continue. Now, can I take that? Can I take that, and should I take that and say, I believe Marvel's going to do what I want, what they're telling me they're going to do now?
Well, or will it end at the next event?
They wouldn't lie to you, Adam.
No.
But I think you're a value customer.
I think that's where I'm... And I've been reading Marvel Now for over... more than 10 years.
No, Marvel Now has only been around for like...
I guess that's where it matters, right? But I've been reading it for that long, and I've never felt so burned out with... Like, I love Marvel. Like, I love Marvel more than I love DC. I love, the idea of the story.
The story now.
Yeah, I know. But
I'm knocking
I just I'm like the characters. Things. I like how real they are. I love
hulking out.
And I have like this nice right now. Adam. I have never been as burned out
Amadeus is getting
with
angry.
Getting a book. With, like, I'm getting Spider-Man. What am I getting with Spider-Man? Like, what are they going to do? Are they going to give you a new story?
Black
are they going to give you that?
Yeah.
Nothing feels right now. And I think I'm a little burned out with these number ones. I'm getting tired of
that. There's a perfect example. Is Spider-Man going to go back to that? Because it looks like it's a completely different Spider-Man where he's now
he's like
world
James
traveler
Bond
or something.
Yeah.
But is it still, did they ever wrap up Spider-Man. That Black Cat is the new Kingpin?
No, and that was the last story. And, that was the big thing. And I don't think we're going to get it. The thing is, I've had this happen with Marvel before, where, like, Iron Man was derailed. And I was enjoying Matt Fraction's Iron Man, and I was just like, what happened? Like, it just goes away, and then they just like, well, it happens. And it's just like, no, it doesn't happen. You
like
can't just
some
do
books
that.
Back that I was reading.
Exactly.
Some Marvel books
I think
back,
they need to
even
just...
Though there's not going to be a Fantastic Four book, and I was enjoying Fantastic Four, and...
I like
Hulk.
Fantastic Four.
And
I would pick it.
Now we're going to get totally awesome Hulk. And not,
just because. And give it
totally
time.
Awesome,
you give it some time, and it won't make it, and they'll be on to the next thing. And that's where I wonder, I'm just like, they're in trouble. Like, they're in trouble in a different way than DC is in trouble. We just don't see it. Because they're easy to market us to say... they're easy to market.
One thing I think I told Zach in an email is, but by staggering all their new number ones,
that's the other thing.
They're going to be ruling the sales chart for the next through February because they're always going to have these number ones with all these
but
incentives.
It's manipulating the numbers.
It is, but what I mentioned to him was, they don't. All they have to do is go, hey, look, Disney, we have 15 of the top 20 books every month, leave us alone.
Yeah, but I think that's going back to the other point that I was making before the podcast, and these guys weren't here, but now that Marvel Studios has been separated from Marvel Entertainment, I can see where the comics may shift back into doing their own thing versus having to match up with the MCU. But now Marvel Entertainment doesn't have the crutch of Marvel Studios padding their bottom line anymore.
Padding their bottom.
I said padding their bottom line, not padding their bottom.
It didn't matter. Yeah. I heard it too.
Yeah.
It was all hard.
Well, you two need to stop thinking about Squirrel Girl. Anyway, so if they don't have...
It's a nice watch pad.
Thank you. If they don't have... if they don't have the revenue from the movies now coming into their balance sheet... Disney's going to see, wait a second, we have a problem at Marvel.
Yep.
I don't know. They don't seem to be hurting that department, so.
Right, but if...
I don't think they do.
If they're losing that revenue and they're just going off of... Because they've already killed a lot of potential moneymakers and their outside thing, toys and posters and all that stuff, because they don't use their X-Men characters, they don't use their Fantastic Four characters.
I don't think their comics are necessarily their priority anymore for their company.
Yeah, but they're still, their sales are still blowing everyone else out of the water.
Yeah,
people are still buying it.
I think
because you're number one in a market, but if your bottom line still isn't what your parent company wants.
Well, yeah, we have no idea what their bottom line, what their parent company wants to have.
I think all comics,
we don't,
especially they're on a certain level, whether they're the highest,
if they're already higher than everyone else, how much higher could Disney want them to be? Like, how much...
They may go back to... Well, remember in the 80s when we were selling 1.3 million copies of Spider-Man? We need to go back to that.
Those times are long gone.
I don't disagree.
Yeah. Probably Disney's looking at it as, the comics are the $3 thing on the bottom that we can sell with the movies and the action figures.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Right, but if you're a department chair, and you... you had that crutch. Now you lose that crutch. You but still have to
make that up. Have that we they seen need. Anything that shows that Disney is really that involved with the comics side of things? With the movie side of things, yes. But have we seen anything that shows that Disney really gives a shit about what's going on? Sorry. About what's going on in the comic side of things.
But they may not have had to, again, because the movies were part of... They were all part of Marvel.
I don't think they care. I think Disney will just let the comic side do whatever they've been doing for years.
I mean, I agree to an extent that they may not care necessarily about the comics, because what they really wanted was the characters.
Yeah.
And now that they have the characters, they can do what they want. They have other marketing opportunities. But at the same time, I don't think... They want to protect those characters. Yeah, they don't want someone to trash them.
Disney cares about the movies. They care about the cartoons. They care about the theme park. They care about the toys. Not so much the action figures he has here, but like the actual like Toys R Us toys, things like that.
Yeah.
They don't. The comics are just there to support all that, and I don't think they care about it. As long as they're not tanking.
Yeah.
I don't. If they're number one,
as long as they're making
the
money that they need to make from that, then everything else is doing what it needs.
Because that's not where they're going. They're never going to make a killing off of that.
No. No, I mean, you know how many $3 books, well, $4 books now, you have to sell to make up $4.8 billion?
Yeah, when they have three cartoons that are Star Wars themed on Disney XD, and then they have the movies coming out, and then they have the new park that's going to be built, and that's where they're going to
I think all of this is going to just, if you give it time, like, all of this is going to be... They're not going to be necessarily worrying about, like... Once the movies are just, like, people are... really into superhero movies, well, that's gonna happen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely gonna happen.
And I was just talking about like just now the Star Wars stuff, the Marvel stuff is.
Just now they have that
everywhere
too.
I feel like the Star Wars stuff is in my head because it's Star Wars overload right now.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know.
I'm almost sick and tired of seeing Star Wars everywhere.
Yeah.
Chewbacca creamer for coffee.
What?
Yeah.
Tastes just like Wookiee.
Yeah. There's Chewbacca creamer for coffee.
Have a little Wookiee in your morning.
It's nuts. There's a small part of me.
This is Wookiee in your cup.
There's a small part of me that hopes the movie tanks because of all this.
All of this?
Yeah.
That's what I said about the action figures. I didn't want to go out there, pick up a bunch of things. And then I was the one who got, like, the Jar Jar Binks of The Force Awakens, you know? And I was just like, I got him. I was like, look, I got the guy. And it's just like, yeah, but once everybody sees the movie, he was the Jar Jar Binks of this movie. But, yeah.
Sweet. Adam's the Jar Jar Binks of the podcast.
You're a Jar Jar Binks.
I was thinking the same thing.
Okay.
Oh, that's kind of mean, Colin.
Yeah, that's a nice watch.
That's a nice
wish
watch.
I had a watch like that.
It's not a watch.
Yeah. Nobody cares about your
watch. It's not the Tuma.
Anyway.
So I hope that answers Zach from Texas's question.
Probably more than he wanted.
Yeah, comic books.
Anybody else out there got questions? Send them in. Just be careful for you're gonna have like a half hour of rambling.
I think we're thorough with our discussion of the question.
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll let us know and tell us, you know, right back. And you're welcome to write in if you have any questions that we can ramble on about for.
But if you don't worry. Zach is picking up the slack.
Yeah.
How do we know Colin's on?
And Adam's very excited about watches tonight. So yeah.
Probably Deck. He set up an account for Deck, and Deck just sends it.
He sends it. He's just like, you're a comic book man. That's a nice watch. What's the next, Colin?
What's
come
next,
on,
boss?
Lead this podcast.
Adam, what did you read?
Comic books.
No, because Adam never likes to talk about books, so we'll start with Adam.
I do.
He likes to whine about books. It's
mm-hmm.
different.
All right.
I have to be nice to him, not to him.
The first song I talk about is Civil War. Civil War is it's not ending yet. I don't think that one didn't end.
No,
but
it pissed me off.
Did you?
Yeah, it pissed me off. Something
they
kind of
reveal who was behind this. It's basically a conspiracy.
Well, they revealed in the last issue, who was behind it.
Yeah,
but then we find out a
who
secret.
Who it really is? I don't want to say too much about it because I want people to read it.
You know what though?
Were you not happy with who it was?
No,
okay.
I do want to spoil this.
Okay, go ahead. Spoiler alert.
It's the damn Skrulls.
What book?
Civil War.
Civil War. Oh,
okay.
So they thought it was T'Challa, and then as Tony's talking to him, he realizes it's not. He somehow has Thor powers and. Zaps T'Challa, and we find out it's a Skrull. So it went from Civil War to Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
Which
both of those stories kind of had stuff going on, like, that involved the same thing. Because some of them were Skrulls. Like, Hank Pym in Civil War was a Skrull. He was one of the three.
I get that.
In this case, I don't remember. T'Challa wasn't, though, I don't think.
No.
So I didn't understand that. But I don't know. I thought it was kind of different. I think I would have liked it better if it was T'Challa for some reason, like that he had a reason, not just the excuse of the Skrull.
You know, it seems like every one of these books has pooped the bed at the end. Like, I heard real bad stuff about Future Imperfect. You made it sound like Planet Hulk ended poorly.
It's awful.
So this is sounding like it's ending poorly. It's like, this is not good.
I just think some books have no point.
I'm not saying it's horrible. You just didn't like the reveal necessarily.
Yeah.
You were wanting a little something.
Well, okay.
Different.
So we knew.
It seemed like an easy out.
But that's just it. We knew that in the 616 universe, the Skrulls invaded. There was a secret invasion. Okay. Here was a chance to get away from that. And instead, you threw it in there because you could.
Yeah.
It's lazy writing. Mm-hmm. And Charles Soule's better than that.
Oh, yeah, that is Charles Soule. Yeah, it wasn't like, yeah, it wasn't a bad book. Like, by far, I think this one might be the better of all of these event books, all of these.
And Charles, if you were forced by your mouse overlord.
That's what it was.
Oh, boy, you're going to put Skrulls in this, huh?
Mickey Mouse is a Skrull. But yeah, I it wasn't bad. See where they go within the next issue, at least with the reveal.
Well, because this is the last issue, this number five.
Yeah, this one will be the last one. So, staying on track with these, I read Renew Your Vows ended. It was good. I really liked this book. I thought the thing about these tie-ins, especially this one, though, they don't have to be in this battle world thing. Like, they could be interesting standalone, even like not what if.
There been any battlings?
Graphic novel, no. And the whole this one had something in it though that led you to that he was going to battle somebody. He was going to go after Doom, and that's why.
That would have been
nice.
I keep
forgetting the bad guy's name. Regent. He took all of these powers because he feared God, and he. He wanted to fight him. That was his plan. Yeah. And it's interesting because this one, I think, explained better. The Barons all know Doom, and they've seen him.
Mm-hmm.
So they've seen God. But nobody else does. They just assume God is just God, you know, like anybody else thinks. But the Barons do know, and that was his plan. He wanted to save the world, or not just the world, but mainly his city, because he feared Doom. And that was why he took these powers. So he takes all these powers, and they, the team led an underground, like, Avengers team, which is basically S.H.I.E.L.D. And you think throughout the whole entire series that it's Nick Fury, because all you see is a face and an eye patch. So you think it's Nick Fury, and it turns out it's Hawkeye. He just gained an eye patch, and he kind of took over one of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s underground bunkers.
Now he's Hawkeye patch.
Yeah. So
he's never Hawkeyes.
Yeah, it's true.
So, yeah, there you go. But it was good. The entire family at the end, Peter, his daughter, they decide to go up against him. MJ is in an armor that he stole from one of the scientists, and she destroys all of the capsules where he was keeping the bodies of the superpowers. The superpowers he drains from them, and he uses them. So they're kind of like a battery somewhere else, and then he channels it into his suit. They destroy all the connection to it. He loses his suit, and then they put him in jail, and they live happily ever after or whatever. But until, you know, Secret Wars is over and this Earth explodes or whatever. Or whatever is happening.
I really want to see Secret Wars being uprising against Doom and all these things.
Well, it's not really ending, because we're going to get this Contest of Champions. So, I mean, it's basically going to be the same thing. They're just fighting and figuring out.
This course is dead. Stop beating it.
They don't know how. Original Sin, how long did it last? It became Original Sins, because they're very creative.
Yeah.
Does
that mean this is going to become Secret Wars?
Secret Wars.
But
that was already a Deadpool book.
Yeah, Deadpool did it.
How'd that one end? Not good.
What else did you read, Adam?
So I'm just saying, overall, these have been pretty crappy.
Well, Deadpool Secret,
less
Secret
than
War
exciting.
Had nothing to do with Secret War. It was a retelling of the 80s Secret War that they inserted Deadpool into. So it was... Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they did with that one, didn't they? They put him into the other book,
exactly,
not this.
And retconned how Venom came to be.
Yeah.
What a weird book.
Okay, I read Shattered Empire.
I read that. I liked it.
Shattered Empire, I thought it was written okay. Like, it was good. Like, I can't say it was good. I just didn't see it as being as big as they made it.
It
was. Which it never is.
And you definitely get the feeling by the end that someone has thought, we need to explain somehow why the Empire is still around.
Well, part of my problem was somebody was explaining to me why it was so good, and I'm like, okay, but there's no way you could have possibly known that. Because I'm like, eh. I'm like, the first 10 pages, wow, they're fighting the Death Star. How's this going to end? You know, and I'm like, I know exactly, you know, there's no...
You never saw it from the Jedi Code?
What?
You never saw Return of the Jedi?
No, that's what I'm saying. So I'm reading this going, okay, there's no real, oh my gosh, are they going to beat the, you know, so you knew how it was going to end. And then the rest of it was basically this woman looking for her husband.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And then she finds him. Yay. Well, he explained
his
to me.
His name.
Means nothing to me.
But they've said the name of the character that's in the movie is Poe.
Right. Yeah. I get that now after he explained that to me, but. How if am I supposed to know the name of a character in a movie that's not out yet?
You don't watch
all
the messages.
No,
Disney marketing machine.
No, because I'm looking here.
No, I understand what you're saying.
So I'm just saying. So there was no importance. Oh, here's two random people.
I think it's meant that way. You read this, and then when you watch the movie, you're like, oh, that
okay.
ties back to that.
I'm supposed to know who Bib Fortuna and Kylo Ren and Nala Cheel are.
Okay,
Kylo Ren
is a new character, but Bib Fortuna was an old character.
But I'm just saying these are boggle words. These aren't real words. These are just random letters put together.
Which
these don't mean anything to me.
Okay, well, to quote Harrison Ford about George Lucas... You can write this shit, but it doesn't mean we can say this shit.
Right. But I'm just saying, so none of these hold any weight to me.
Yeah, it's...
Where Han Solo... You know, these are characters
I
know.
Yeah,
I don't get excited over these names.
Are you a Star Wars guy, though, either? Like, if you didn't own this store, would you be following any of this?
I'm kind of...
Probably not after my total disappointment with the prequels.
Yeah.
I was a Star Wars guy until Episode 1. And Episode 1...
Is that where they went back and got the whales?
Oh, you did it to yourself.
Well played, sir.
The best way to beat him is just do it before we can.
Yeah, but no, I mean, because like I said,
it was better.
I was really excited to see episode 1, and
saying.
I saw 2 and 3 on TV. That's
like,
how interested
I've actually
I was
been staying away from all the talk about it.
So, yeah, those names didn't mean
so
anything.
So I had no idea who those people were.
I understood
no idea.
That they were... They're Poe Dameron's.
Okay. See, I didn't. So I'm just watching it, going,
because
"Oh,
I'm a nerd."
And Han Solo shows up and says, "Hey guys, we got to
do
something."
Any of the names of the new
people.
But
this issue still didn't do anything for me.
No, me either.
I'm hearing
people say it was the best Star Wars book ever.
Yeah,
was the best.
It got
and I'm going,
"Star review on
this was dumb."
Like,
I don't think it was bad. Like, I think it was a good book. It was entertaining. It looked nice. I'm interested to see where it goes from there.
Frankly, and you know, I'll talk about that too. Darth Vader is the better of the book.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it's just a good book. But like,
better than
I totally
book, than this book we're talking about just about last week.
Better than
I disagree with that. But I've never read one issue of Darth Vader, so I guess I can't.
I'd have to see more. Like I can't as I
was
saying.
The
before,
Green Lanterns.
As I said, see, it didn't work. As I said,
mine was much better.
Yeah,
that is a really nice watch.
Yeah,
such a nice watch. We're coming down your throat now.
It's violent. No, I can't judge the series yet because I don't know, but I guess it helps to know because like I'm a Star Wars person. I haven't been paying attention to the new stuff because I want to see the movies.
Yeah, like the first issue of this book,
I have no idea who any of the characters are.
The first issue of this book has definitely hooked me more than the first issue of Darth Vader, but maybe it's because, and I've been saying this the whole time,
I don't really care what happens between New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
I care about what happens from Jedi and Force Awakens.
And I was saying that the other day. I might have said it online.
I'm interested in.
I'd rather see, like, Luke, how he made a lightsaber.
That would
I'd like to see that.
Well, that was actually a cut scene in Jedi. They filmed that with him building his
lightsaber. He got a woodworking tool.
Yeah.
Carved an anarchy symbol, and it works,
right? That was some fancy.
The initial saber had a kit with a ball of yarn on one side, and anarchy on the other side. And
Sue Teller is his real mask.
Sue Teller.
Yeah.
A lot of the Star Wars EU stuff that came out was crap. But the first books that came out, the Thrawn trilogy, was excellent, and it explained what happened to the Empire. Which, when you look at what happened in Iraq, that's what happens. The government people, the people that have control of the army, it splits, it splinters. They have
the
their own. There becomes a power vacuum, and they all fight for it. Yeah. Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising, and The Last Command was that trilogy. And there were some goofy
those don't
parts
exist.
To it. Yeah. No, they don't, but that's the shame, is that was really well done. It was well written and kind of set the table for what could have been in The Force Awakens. Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I'm excited to see the movie, don't get me wrong. I'll certainly see it in the theater.
Yeah.
But, you know, with those books, I think they came out probably 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think about that.
Actually, it had to have been longer than that, because I was
like
still 90, in high school.
It was like 91 or
yeah.
Yeah, it had to have been after Return of the Jedi.
But, you know, that almost would have made more sense. You know, adapt those a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it just, I don't think there's a lot to them, to this issue so far. And I think it might have had a little better impact if I did know, but, like, I haven't really been paying attention to who the characters are until I see it. Speaking of which, Darth Vader, not a lot happened in this issue per se.
No, I was a little disappointed in this
issue.
Yeah,
this issue didn't have that much to it. It's still a well done book. It's basically them figuring out information. That was basically the issue.
The stuff between him and the investigator guy. Yeah.
He's suspicious of him.
Yeah, there's a back and forth where they bait each other to kind of see who's going to blink first.
Yeah.
Which I don't get, because he's Darth Vader.
I think it'll end with, like,
him force choking him. Yeah, it's like, so, you know, I kind of see where this is headed.
Yeah. But, no, nothing a lot in this. But, like I said, this is my favorite of the Star Wars books. Like, this one I look forward to.
Are you reading Lando?
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at, is, like, Lando's been good. I've actually not had a huge problem with this launch of Star Wars books. I think they've been still fun. I'm actually just been in a real Star Wars mood because of reading this and watching that Rebel show and all this, and it's just like, there's a lot going on with Star Wars, but as Josh said, there's almost too much going on with Star Wars. That's why I'm trying not to pay attention so much to Force Awakens until it comes out. Because I don't want all of it.
Yeah.
Like, all of it's too much.
We walked into Kohl's the other day to get something real quick, and you couldn't
Darth
walk.
Darth Vader helped you?
You couldn't walk more than 7 feet without hitting, like, some sort of Star Wars display.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as we walked in, there's a display with all these Star Wars dresses, and then after that there's some toys, and then there's other Star Wars clothes, and, like, it's too much.
I walked up to drop his mail off. I walked past Radio Shack, and that droid was in there. That little
B-80.
Yeah. He was.
I hope that droid is a psychopath.
I know, right? I'm hoping it's like it's the Jar Jar Binks. I'm hoping it's the one that everybody loves so far. They got it. They're holding it. It's the one nobody's going to like. They'll be like, I hate that droid.
I'm hoping it turns into being one of the psychopathic assassins. He becomes,
shoots a laser. Who was it? Was it you that was like, I think he said something like he was going to shoot a laser.
Oh my god, he killed
right through Chewbacca's head.
I hate that thing.
It's like, oh. But no, it's just all over the place. But no, Darth Vader, it's worth picking up. It has been a fun book.
The thing I like about it is it is a Darth Vader story, but at the same time, it doesn't give you too much.
It's not overly, yeah.
You know, like with Gotham, I don't want to know about the Joker. Don't tell me his origin.
Yeah.
Same thing here. I've already seen too much of Darth Vader almost.
If you
want to see him
too
being
much of
Vader,
Darth Vader, then we're not going to. Then it's going to be Star Wars, where we have too much of characters we already know so much about.
Well, but it's not just that. It's if you're going to show him, make him ruthless.
Yeah.
Don't humanize him. Because at this point in where he is...
I think they're doing it right, where they're not necessarily making him ruthless, but they're not necessarily making him a good guy. You know, he's getting to where he needs to... He's doing what he needs to do in the shadows. You can tell in this that he doesn't trust the Emperor.
Yeah.
He knows that the Emperor is not going to keep him around forever, and he's trying to plan.
Yeah, but you even saw that in Empire. You yeah. saw that, so
yeah,
you know,
and he just knows how the Siths work. I mean, basically, in Episode 3, you know, the Emperor explains to him how this works. You know, he killed his master; it's just going to happen.
Yeah,
but I think they're just going about the book right. I think they just knew what they were doing. Where in Star Wars, I don't think they did. Even the last issue of Star Wars, I kind of liked some of the stuff that was going on with Luke. The Han Solo thing, I could care less about. The thing where he has a wife, and it's just like, who cares?
Yeah, they're batting a thousand. Who cares? They're batting a thousand in this book on the new characters, because the two droids are great. Dr. Aphra is a cool character.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Inspector is, and
yeah,
they're all interesting characters.
Yeah, and they really fit. They fit Star Wars.
Yeah, that's a tough thing.
Han Solo's wife was really kind of. It's not that I just don't like the idea. Yeah, it's just like
exactly. You hear that and you go. Oh,
it came out of nowhere, and it's just like it. I swear this book is written like a fan fiction.
Well, but here's
it's just like, yeah, what if he had a wife?
Yeah. Well, here's where
outside of Lando or
outside of Leia.
And, yeah, that's a fan fiction right there. That's a fan fiction.
So
right there.
Go to Kentucky.
And then he was Han Solo was really with Lando,
but well, the problem that I have with the Han Solo thing, I don't know. Because you said you're trying to avoid spoilers, but one of the things that they've said about The Force Awakens was they intentionally have not given us characters' last names, and in some cases, they're not their correct last names.
Yeah.
And what I'm afraid of is the kid that's the stormtrooper. Because now they've introduced Han Solo's wife, who's a black woman.
Yeah.
That's his son.
It's like, that's going to be his son. Which, okay,
because why else would you not tell us these characters' names? I mean, because
he's a Jedi, though, is what we've seen. Because they've shown a picture of him holding a lightsaber.
That doesn't make you a Jedi.
I thought you couldn't harness a lightsaber unless you were able to.
Han used it.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
He's the only character though.
But I've heard them mention that it's not.
I don't think you can use it to its full effect. But you can still hit the button.
So you can use it as basically to cut anything.
It's unclear whether he knows.
If you really want to wield, if you wanted to wield.
What did Vader say?
You're not
going to
block blaster shots and stuff with it, but
well, no.
What did Vader say to Luke when they went to right before they fought on Bespin? The Force is strong with you, but you're not a Jedi yet. Same thing. He might use it,
but I guess
they're
all connected with the Force, though, necessarily.
What'd you say that word for? Midichlorians.
Midichlorians.
Stupid.
How about Midichlorinauts or whatever?
That word better not be used at all in this movie.
Yeah.
What happened to Jar Jar?
I don't know.
Can
they write it out? Can they really get rid of that?
They can ignore it.
You're trying to bring science into it.
Well, but remember, all the characters that would have heard that before are now dead.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as midichlorians anymore because the Force is awakened.
Unless Jimmy Smith told Leia about it.
Well, Jimmy Smith was like, guess this crap I heard about midichlorians.
Well, no, the prophecy
all
was
four
true.
Of them.
Anakin did bring balance to the Force.
He did, yeah. Yeah,
just not in the way people thought.
Oh, yeah, right. He brought it.
Exactly.
Two Sith, two Jedi.
Yeah. But no, it's been decent, Darth Vader. Walking Dead, again, another book that really a lot didn't happen for the last two issues. It's just been talking and explaining what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, Rick had his war council meeting, and Maggie punched him, and then
Maggie,
they hugged it out.
But at least they talked over the thing where he killed what's-his-face.
Gregory.
And it's just not a lot. I think that's the kind of one of the problems with Walking Dead. It's such a quick read.
This one had 12 pages with no words.
Yeah, and then nothing. And it's just like nothing big. And I know you can't expect nothing big all the time, but you need to have something going on that's more exciting.
That's one of the things that surprises me, though, and you know, just thinking about this from a practical standpoint, after they had the all-out war with the Saviors, and I know that the Saviors are now part of their group, but they know that there are other groups out there. Why do they not train and have a standing army?
Yeah.
Even if it's like a reserve thing where, you know, they're Minutemen, if you will, and they have other jobs, but at a moment's notice they can be up and fighting. Why did they not have that at these places?
Yeah.
To me, it just makes no sense. Because Eugene figured out how to make ammunition, so that's not a problem.
Yeah.
They control the walkers, or, you know, they can go out somewhere and
all this talk of Star Wars, when you said walkers, the first thing came to mind was, I was like,
what are they controlling?
Eugene,
walkers?
Yeah, Eugene made AT-ATs. You didn't
They're
know that?
Fine in the zombie apocalypse then. What's going on?
But, you know, they can go off somewhere and train and shoot and all that without worrying about drawing walkers into their compound.
Yeah.
Why don't they have an army for just this exact reason?
Yeah. I think they're Rick goes about this the wrong way at all times. Like, he's either trying to hide from it or he's trying to live a normal life, and you can't.
Rick has always done that, though. He's always about two issues behind where he needs to be.
And I think he's become weak. I think a lot of people are noticing that, including Maggie. I think more is going to happen between him and Maggie. But it's just like...
Yeah, I see a civil war.
She's a stronger
growing
character right now. And he's just trying to live. He's just like, we're good now. We can all live happily ever after. Like, his story's over, and it's not.
Well, but even... And they touched upon it in this issue. She's still pissed because Negan's alive.
Yeah.
Because after what happened with Glenn, she obviously wants to execute Negan.
Yeah.
So I could see a civil war happening amongst them.
Yeah, otherwise I don't think they would have wasted the time to make a point of this entire, like, execution thing where she believes in it, he doesn't. I don't think they would have done that. The only thing that happened right at the end was Eugene he basically wants revenge, and he wants it through her daughter, who Carl has brought with them. But I don't think that's going to matter, because she basically was like, get out, daughter.
Yeah, she threw him. Yeah.
So,
a hostage only works when the people you're holding
are actually caring. They're just like, who? We don't know who she is now. We've gotten rid of her from our tribe. But I don't know. Nothing big. And that's one of my biggest problems with Walking Dead. I think that's why a lot of people enjoy reading Walking Dead as a trade, because you get a lot more.
And yeah, every fourth issue is good.
It's just like, okay, this is okay. Why am I waiting? You know, how often is Walking Dead coming out now?
It's monthly, but sometimes sometimes we seem to get one.
Sometimes
a little
I feel like it needs to be, you know, biweekly.
Because when they did that during All Out War, it sucked.
Yeah, that's true. Because that doesn't mean it's going to actually change anything.
And now with Kirkman having two TV shows and starting a third TV
show. Maybe he needs to focus on a project.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest problems. Somebody mentioned that just recently. I don't know if I read it online or something, that, you know, he's just, right now he has that, he has Outcast. I don't think Outcast is doing as well. And then there's going to be a TV show, and it's just like, maybe you need to chill out, like, a little bit.
Chill out.
But yeah, so Walking Dead, it's okay.
Sorry, I had a Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I know. You don't have to apologize. I knew where you came from. That
Earth 2, or Earth 2 Society, I guess is what it's called now.
Earth 2. Welcome to Earth.
Yeah, it's I think this book hasn't really changed too much. I'm not a big fan of the art in it. It's a little too cartoony. But in this issue, they go, and this issue is main focused is Superman, which is Val Zod.
Yeah.
And it explains more what the problem is between him and Power Girl. And why... Did you read this?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was only reading Earth 2 during World's End, just so I could kind of get the full flavor of it.
I like it. Like, I like Earth 2. I think this has gotten a little off, but... I understand, because they're on a new planet. But this talks about Val Zod. Batman's accusing Val Zod of murdering Terry Sloane. And Because he was killed with basically heat vision. So he's saying that
Power Girl
could do it too, yeah. So I'm not sure what's going on with that.
Batman's all like right Twix, and Valzad's all like left Twix.
Sponsoring the podcast.
Mountain Dew is. What are you talking about?
Mountain Dew, Twix, crack.
Peace out.
Peace out. One of the cool things that they've done with this is that the solar system that is holding this new planet has two suns.
That should make him doubly strong.
Well, one's yellow, one's red.
Oh, so during the day.
Part of the day, he is strong. But the other part of the day...
So now all they got to do is figure out when Terry Sloan was killed and if it happened to be in the red sun.
That's the thing. I think that's where they're getting. But I thought that was interesting because there you go. You have a weakness to Superman and something. Not just
taking
away his
powers. Not going to be kryptonite.
He just can't always be strong.
Yeah.
There's a weakness there. Yeah, there's no kryptonite. But yeah, it's been good. It's still been a good issue. I think it's moving a little slower than the others have.
There's still kryptonite.
Yeah. What on that? Well, I guess there could still be.
Bruce had the Ark. Bruce made the Ark.
There's kryptonite. Yeah, Bruce probably made the Ark out of kryptonite. I think it's interesting. I think the characters are all fitting in exactly, you know, how they do. Somebody mentioned recently about, and I don't remember who, about the ships. The ships are actually taken apart to build the city. It might have been you. Somebody questioned how they were building a city with no material.
But the
cities aren't very big. They're very small. They're not really even cities. So, and their population isn't as high because most of them were killed in the apocalypse.
But that's...
So, no, there aren't very... Plus, the city that Valzad is making... Valzad's making his own city. And he's basically making it out of
Kandor.
Dirt. And then he's... mud and stuff. And then he's melting it with his heat vision to strengthen it. So he's building his own city altogether.
It's called Albuquerque.
But, not bad. I think it's worth picking up. If you're still reading Earth 2, might as well try this. And then I'm going to hold off on a couple of them because I want to give them for other people. I'll talk about
them.
You'll talk about
them. Ooh, okay. Reverse order.
Yeah, apparently so. Suiciders.
Man, I love this book.
I do too.
This book looks great.
I'm sad to see it close
little
for
break,
the year.
Little break. Yeah. This is a weird issue.
It was, and it...
Everything that happened kind of mirrored each other. Like, with the things that the events in the nice side of the city and the events in the, you know, bad side of the city kind of mirrored each other. The Saint was trying to get away from, was it Grayson's guys?
Yeah.
And they all attacked him. I forget what's the guy's name. The bull in his chest.
Yeah, see, that's where I got confused. I may have completely misread this, and if I did, please slap me. I think they're the same guy.
They're not the same guy.
I think they're the same guy, and it's telling him at different times.
They're not.
You got to slap him.
Okay, so...
Okay. Come here. Go ahead.
Oh, man. You got blood all over Dave.
It's a nice watch.
So... Hey, Josh. The Saint, I mean, it could be. There could be some twists in his different times.
Remember at the end where he had that thing carved into his chest?
Yeah, but the Saint carved it in before he went back to...
But remember what they said when he was saying it? Give him a new face. And that's why I think that the Silvestrio guy is the Saint.
Holy shit, Pat! You just blew my mind! You're right!
Wow.
It is! It's two different... Oh, man! I didn't...
Two X.
What? Why did you smack him?
I didn't really smack Pat. I smacked my hand. I smacked myself.
Okay, but you see why I'm thinking it's the same guy now.
You're right. I was thinking that they were bringing him in to replace.
And remember, because he goes to the bar where the woman is,
and that's why he goes back.
He has it on his chest.
That's why he goes back to the picture.
You have another
X. Oh man, Pat.
Yeah, right. Beep. Oh.
Boom.
This book is so good, man.
Yeah,
if that doesn't sell it, I don't know what did. Colin, you're gonna have to get more copies.
I can't believe I'm reading. Like, it's kind of cool. It mirrors. I never put together that it was the man.
Yeah,
wow.
Pat wins the podcast today.
That's a podcast. Congratulations, we're going Pat. Home.
It's kind of like winning Whose Line Is It Anyway? The points don't matter.
It matters.
But, yeah. So, oh. Pick up Suiciders. It'll be out in trade here pretty soon. So
unless
you can read
Josh picks them all up, because he's...
And it's coming back in 2016.
I feel bad because what went over my head has now been ruined, but I feel bad that Pat bested me.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not just a pretty
again,
face.
Pat.
No, and now that you say that,
you rule the day.
Now that you say that, it makes so much sense, and it makes it so much better.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
He flies off on his jetpack.
So you need a breather? I'll talk about a book you haven't read.
I'm completely thrown off. My notes mean nothing now.
You can't do that to Josh.
Apparently not. All right, so I'll go to the next book because you haven't read it, so we'll be okay. Rebels. Dave?
I read it, yeah.
So...
Don't get Dave that excited.
No, there was no twist like that in Rebels.
It's not often we see pure joy here.
Oh, man.
Just,
it was too much.
Yeah.
Just let it be.
So Seth comes home, and it's apparently
especially
6 years later, and he meets his 6-year-old son.
It's a nice watch.
I was just surprised that... I didn't expect the war to be over so soon. I thought the
whole point was we were going to see him throughout the war. And I guess they could in the second arc.
Is this an anthology series? Like, or is there going to be... When Brian Wood did Northlanders, it was a history of the Vikings. But, you know, it was different stories, different characters every 4-6 issues. So I have to look in... see if it's continuing after this, but it was a great issue.
Yeah, it tied that arc up very well. Essentially he's not needed anymore because his son is the man of the house and he's only 6 years old, and like when I say he's the man of the house, dude's the man of the house. I mean, he's running things and had never been taught half this stuff. Like, he knew, you know, how to dig the pits and put the rocks in and you know, to have a cooling place for the fruit and how to chop trees and you know, have them fall the way you want them to. I mean, this is a 6-year-old doing this.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about, you know, Seth trying to reconnect with his wife after being at war for so many years.
Yeah.
And just the things you don't think about, that what he has, what, you know, a soldier has to go through.
Yeah, I mean, I saw through a different set of eyes, because when I, you know, it is something, okay, where do I really fit in, you know, when I was gone?
Right.
When you're gone, life continues, and people do their own thing, and then you come back, and they have their own routines. You know, I didn't have kids when I went to Iraq, so it was completely different. But I did see it from the other side, where guys came home and, you know, their kids forgot about them because they were young, and, you know, it's a year later and they're afraid of daddy and all this other stuff. You know, in this case, he was gone for 6 years.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously there was a lot.
I just love the bit when, you know, Mercy is asking him, you know, if another war came up,
would you
go off? And he says, I don't dare open my mouth, because I was afraid of what might come out.
Yeah.
Keep up.
The other thing with that was Mercy essentially tells him, you have to court me all over again.
Right.
You know, she really, you know, harps on the fact that in 6.5 years, everyone else came home. You know, even if it was only for a short time, why did you stay away?
Yeah. Seth really has to do some soul searching.
Yeah.
For what's important in his life.
Now, the one thing that they said was he was wealthy at that point.
Okay.
Mercy said, you know, yeah, you sent your pay vouchers home.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, but he had said when he set out that he was wealthy. Okay. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, is that going to play into this a little bit?
I need to look in the previews to see if the series is continuing or what it's about.
It's going to continue, but I... I think it doesn't come back until December.
Oh, okay.
So you're getting people excited. You're getting people nervous. You're just drawing out emotions.
It was Dark Horse. It's a Dark Horse book.
I'll expect it not to be in here. Oh, no, it's Dark Horse. Sorry, I was looking at the image.
So it may be then, but it was a really good book. It'll be a good read and trade.
Yeah, I'm on
board. It's just been excellent.
I like to read a lot of this type of stuff in trade.
So. All right. So next, Star Trek Green Lanterns.
Okay.
Good book.
I'm loving this book.
It works so well together.
Yeah. The stuff. What I like is you're keeping both sets of characters pure and organic to what they are.
Who they are, yeah.
While combining two franchises that really shouldn't go together. The stuff with Sinestro and Chang was really good. Atrocious and the Gorn, that was great.
Mm-hmm. I like it one issue where he says, basically, I think Kirk's talking to Hal, and he's like, there's a lot of technology in this, more than your starship has. He's like, oh, I wouldn't be surprised. And then we saw Atrocitus is the Gorn. He just cuts the constellation right in half. Just like, oh, I think your ring probably is a little better.
Yeah, the only thing, the only issue I have is these people that are receiving the rings sure know how to use them pretty quickly.
A little better
than especially the Romulan who got the orange ring. Yeah. Who suddenly knew how to, make his own army.
Yeah.
And also...
Well, and Chekhov.
Yeah.
He's floating outside the ship, which I don't even know how he got outside the ship, but he's somehow outside the ship and floating around. It's like, how's he doing that?
Yeah.
But I did have a problem with that, because Larfleeze would have automatically went for mine.
Yeah, he's not one to team up at all.
Yeah, and he just said, oh, well, he's going to have a problem because he doesn't have one of these, and he's holding a lantern. It's like... One, we've already established Larfleeze doesn't need the lantern. Mm-hmm. And two, he's not going to let someone else have an orange ring. He's going to go after it.
Yeah, why did he have
and that was going to be my... And my third point is, why... How was there an orange ring?
Yeah.
Larfleeze should have the only ring.
Yeah.
But I also...
But it did say to enact that protocol, the Guardian had to have one of each each ring, so who knows.
But he only would have taken Larfleeze's ring, right?
Well, no... No, there had to be another one.
Yeah, there has to be another one.
Because Kyle had one.
Yeah.
But I liked
Lex how... Lex Luthor had...
Lex Luthor had in Blackest Night.
He had Larfleeze's ring. Yeah. Because that's what Larfleeze and him kept fighting about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like how they tied it back to Blackest Night. Yeah. Where that was the first time they fought Necron.
Yeah.
And then, They realize that it's a losing battle because there's always going to be more dead than living.
But everything. I think within the next issue, they really need to go somewhere with the story.
Yeah, because
it's about the introduction for three issues. Yeah. That's my biggest problem with the book. Are giving the rings to are awesome.
It makes sense. It says a lot to me. Three issues of introduction, and it's been this enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've enjoyed it. I think it's just written well. The ending, though, was my favorite. I wasn't even thinking that. And then, because you keep thinking of the previous continuity, not the movie continuity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it makes complete sense of who would get the black ring. It's Vulcan. So we're bringing Vulcan back to life. So I was like, that works.
Yeah.
I mean, everything works for this book. Like, they really thought it out. They're not just doing something kind of hokey.
Mm-hmm.
They're making it really interesting.
Not that it was horrible, because I loved it, but it's not kind of the Archie versus Predator.
Yeah.
Which, again, I love. It's hilarious. But it really meshes the two together well.
Yeah. Really well.
That's what you're saying. Yeah.
And they make sense. They make sense being meshed together, because... they're very similar ideas. Starfleet, Green Lantern Corps.
I'm surprised how it works. When they first announced it,
I knew I'd
be on board, but I didn't think it would work this well.
It's worked really well. Yeah. It's kind of selling me for other future
potential crossovers.
Because
this has been the year of crossovers. Like, they've had a lot of crossover books, especially with Archie, but then you've had, like, crossing over books with Convergence, and you've been having them with Secret Wars. And
it just, it really works. Like, it says a lot about Mike Johnson as a writer that he's able to write both these properties true to their form and then bring them together and make them both make sense. It just, it's it works. Really good.
Yeah, it's been really a fun book.
Final book that I'll talk about is Batman.
There we go.
It was good.
Yeah,
I really like this, and Adam and I talked about this right before the podcast. I'm hoping that this is going to set up what goes on in Batman and Robin Eternal.
Or even if it's future Batman story.
Yeah,
I'm fine. Like, it just, it's a setup. We know it's a setup. And this isn't the first time Scott Snyder has done this. He did this with the Harper Row story that he was going to bring her in, and that was a setup for for the first Eternal.
Right.
So I have a feeling there's more to this story. Really well done. Really,
it's really well done. Really well written.
It was a big book.
I love Jock's art. It was a bit text heavy in certain parts, but that's Scott Snyder sometimes.
Yeah.
But it was all great. I mean,
the art was amazing. Like, I right now I'm at this point where that's who I want to take over as Batman. Yeah. And Azzarello. I think Azzarello can do a pretty good job with Batman. And he did a good job with Wonder Woman, but I think Azzarello takes on characters of different types, and I think he can do that. Plus, he wrote that Batman Flashpoint story, which is a great story. So I think he has the ability, and I think the art is so nice that Jock does, and I think Scott Snyder has a good relationship with Jock that I think that's who he would want, I think, to be the next artist on that book. So it just worked. It was really nice looking book.
Yeah, my only problem with it was the text boxes. Trying to read it at night in my living room was white on light gray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just could not read it. And I handed it over to Sandy. I'm like, can you read this? And she was closer to the lamp. And she's like, well, yeah. And then she read the paragraph. And then I looked at her, I said, will you read the rest of the book to me and show me the pictures?
And she was like, aww.
Yeah. And she said no and handed it back to me. So.
And that's 20 years of marriage.
Exactly.
But I love the part when he took the took his cape off. He has, because, or I don't know if he took it off or not, but he made it into like a bat or something.
My anniversary's next month.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
And he was able to form it into a bat, and he hit the guy with his cape. I was like, that's pretty different.
Yeah.
Somebody sent Scott Snyder a tweet asking him about that, and that's basically what he said. Yeah, this is Batman. But, no, it was a really cool book, and then tying in what's going on in Batman currently into it. It's a really good kind of, not, I wouldn't say it's a murder mystery, but like it's a detective story.
I like
that. And he's trying to figure out who killed this 15-year-old boy, and he's following all these clues, and it's basically, in the end, it's the city killed this 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
I like that back to like Zero Year-esque, brash, angry Batman.
Yeah, the stuff with the Penguin where he coated the rope with bird seed.
Yeah.
That was pretty brutal. The Mr. Weed stuff.
Bloom.
Or Mr. Bloom. And the fact that he goes away. And you know, like, you don't...
Yeah. He just disappears.
It's kind of like how with the Court of Owls... They're in the background, but you don't know they're there. Yeah. That's kind of what they're doing with
It's actually killing me right now who he is. Like, every time I see him, I'm just like, I want to know. That's what sells a book.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's like, I can't wait for the next issue of Batman to come out because I want to see this.
Oh, yeah. It's just been really good.
And it was great because you always hear people say that Bruce Wayne could do so much more as himself than Batman. Mm-hmm. So it's good to see that he actually can be part of the problem sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And the good that he does, he creates... problems as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, and it's so one of those things really that we're even that he, Batman. It was a learning experience for Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And I love issues like that where he's not perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and people are always thinking, well, he's Batman, he can do anything. Well, no. He can screw up really bad, and he's done it bunches of times. And that's what makes an interesting character, not just you know, for superheroes, not just for Batman, but characters altogether that you can relate to and be like, I thought this guy was perfect, but he's not.
Yeah.
You know? He isn't perfect, and he makes mistakes.
Well, it's, you know, of all the DC characters, Batman is probably the most relatable because he's human.
And then how can he come from, you know, let's kind of back to that, the movie where Alfred says that, you know, he is, you know, why do we fall so we can pick ourselves back up? It's the same thing. It's a good issue. Good one-shots. That's how you make a one-shot, by the way. You know, it's not really a one-shot, but that's how you make a one and done.
Yeah.
That's just how you do it. Yeah. But really good.
Dave?
An Image book. Starve number 5. Previous issue, the Chef Gavin, he won the latest round of the Starve cooking game show with help from his daughter. So this issue starts with his estranged wife just seething that happened. So she puts all her money into some offshore bank account so he can't get at it. But the rest of this issue is fantastic. They get into the next round of the show, and it's called Kitchen Battles. And it is literally a kitchen battle because what the chefs have to do is go to a restaurant out in the city and take it over and cook a meal for the patrons inside the restaurant. And they literally have to arm themselves and take over the kitchen.
Okay.
And fight the people in the kitchen, the other chefs there, so they can do their thing. And this is a 24-hour... contest that they have to do this multiple times, which will continue into the next issue. Chef Gavin and his two sous chefs, they take over this chef. It's called Cafe Augusta, and they cook Cafe Augusta and cook squid with bacon and garlic. And it was really good. It's just a kinetic issue, and your adrenaline was flowing during the fight in this kitchen. It was really good. I can't wait for the next issue of that. And X-Files, season 2.
That was the home.
This is the one we've been waiting for.
Especially.
Season 11, number 2. This is a sequel to the Home episode. Home Again.
Yeah, that's what they call it. Home
Again. Mulder is in Nebraska, and this fracking company is buying up all this land except for this one house who refuses to sell their land to the oil company. And so Mulder goes in to investigate, and he meets a woman in there, and all of a sudden he's overtaken by, there must be 10 little deformed kids. And so they take him hostage there. And at the end of that Home episode, the only people who survive are the Peacock family. These are the Peacocks. And it's the Peacock family house again. They've moved to Nebraska. And it's just the mother. And
which doesn't make any sense why it's called Home.
Yeah.
Because in Home, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, right, funny. Right. It was Home, Pennsylvania, right. Yeah. So Edmund, the only brother who survived was Edmund, because Mulder killed the other ones in the original episode. So the crux of the issue is Edmund can no longer father children. So they want to use Mulder.
Does that defeat the whole purpose though? We're gonna do
so there's a girl there, there's a new girl there who's not a peacock. And Mulder's like, you know, I'm not gonna have that happen with you. And then the last page is the mother taken out on the what you call it, the stretcher guy. And she, to answer your question, she says, "Well, sometimes you got to do what you got to do."
Oh.
And
those peacocks.
So the crazy, oh, those peacocks are back.
There are only two left at the end of the episode.
Yeah. So
just her and the one son. I never could tell which one it was.
His name's Edmund, and
he
recognized Mulder, and he's all very angry that that his brothers are killed.
How did they get a house?
They didn't explain that yet.
Because you know what I mean, because they couldn't just go there. But you have to bring this woman in and her on her on a. On a stretcher with no arms, legs, or anything. Like, I need to apply for a loan. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, who would turn her down?
Yeah, right? Okay. Is it for getting prosthetics, I hope?
Keep prosthetics.
But she's like, no. Then she explains why, and we're just like, you're not getting your loan, you're rejected.
My face is all brown. And that was the photo cover of that?
Yeah,
that was them pulling her out from under the bed.
Yeah.
Ooh, you made me watch that like 4 times. That day. Yeah, I loved that episode.
Watched it once.
It seemed like 4 times
for you, I guess.
And I read the Quake one shot.
The Quake. Okay.
Did you read that comic?
I didn't. I read the Mockingbird, but I didn't read the Quake.
This is
seven.
Daisy Jones.
Daisy Johnson. Also known as Sky, also known as Quake. And this story takes place, it said it takes place in 2010 when S.H.I.E.L.D. is searching for Norman Osborn.
She was 4.
Oh. I'm not going to.
Why were they searching for Norman?
There, because he was the head of Hammer, and I guess.
So she was 10 then?
She wasn't 10.
Oh.
Because. Yeah. This because the story is her first mission. I'm not going to try to make sense of it in the timeline and everything, because I think it's impossible to do so. But it's her first mission with the Avengers, who are Hawkeye, Spider-Woman, Vision. Was it Protector?
She just got her powers. I'm so confused.
I don't know. I'm a
Protector.
Protector was Captain Marvel, right?
Something. No, Protector's somebody else. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was another space guy.
No, it's a girl.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
Part of the Shi'ar.
During the mission, she lets some aliens or some Inhumans go or something. I couldn't
have their way with her. What?
Is this the whole mission?
Yeah. They're supposed to get these Inhumans, and she lets them go because
Smasher. That's who I'm thinking of.
She's the girl that's part of the Shi'ar.
But no, maybe that's not Protector. Never mind. I'm sorry.
I thought Protector was one of the Captain Marvels or the alien Captain Marvel.
Is that a guy?
Something. It was a guy. I thought it was a guy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That was the one from Young.
Protector's the one that was. I keep thinking he was like got the job after something, and he was like a space like.
Oh yeah, he was Marvel Boy.
Marvel Boy. That's what I think I was.
You were. I was thinking
Marvel Boy. Not Captain Marvel. Marvel Boy. Right.
Yeah. Got your back, boss.
Thank you.
We figured it out, guys. Teamwork.
What's gonna work? Teamwork.
Iron Man's not happy she's there.
With the team.
And S.H.I.E.L.D. The framing sequences, she's
Peppa
being interrogated.
I'm waiting for Dave to be like, that's a nice watch, Colin. That's a nice watch.
Everybody has a nice watch on.
Shut your pie hole.
She's being interrogated for letting these Inhumans go. And it was a story.
What's interesting, I thought she was in
a comic.
You remember Secret Wars? Brian Michael Bendis did Secret Wars.
Well, I was going to say, we've been reading
Secret Wars. you remember the one I'm talking about? The one where Nick Fury finally disappeared.
Yeah.
And that's when he went underground.
Yeah, they went
was in that, wasn't she? And that would have been before.
Who? Quake?
Quake. Daisy Johnson.
Oh, was she?
I think.
Gosh.
Now we have to check.
I thought she came along
scary
after
you have that.
That
yeah, no, she's been in it even before Secret Warriors. Yeah,
good, she was.
Quake's been around for, since Bendis. I think Bendis created her, didn't she?
No, I think Hickman did in Warriors.
Somebody mentioned this before. They were mad. I don't know if it was Adam or Josh.
I've never been mad.
They stuck an ad in the middle of the issue when it's a 2-page.
They did that with Renew Your Vows, which I was really irritated about because it was in a 2-page spread.
Yeah, it was a 2-page spread, and they just stuck that 4-page ad.
Right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I was really mad.
I thought it was 1 page, and then I turned, it's like, oh, man.
And then I'm like, maybe there's something good like a Twix in here, and there wasn't. Or in the other, it made me want a Twix. Yeah. So, nah.
I was mad at Sean Murphy in Tokyo Ghost because he did a whole bunch of 2-page spreads. It's like, these are going to cost too much, jerk.
He only has 4 pages left. And that was this afternoon.
Okay, well, I could have bought one in San Diego, but I, not knowing the story.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Well, no, I'm glad I didn't. But
you could have sold that thing for triple now.
Yeah.
At least.
That's okay. I had to get home.
Yep, her first appearance was Secret War number 2.
Oh, okay, wow.
So she's been around longer than that with the Avengers. Created by Brian Michael Bendis.
Like the one that was that?
No, Secret War.
2004. Boy, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Secrets Wars is it.
That's right. This one's called Secret War.
Secrets
this one
War.
Is called Secret War.
Yes. Completely Secrets. Different.
Yeah. It really is, but they were stupid. But yeah, she. That's when she was first in there. Which was with the Avengers, but I guess she never teamed up with them or whatever.
And that's all I had. Josh?
I'll start off bad.
Might as well.
Planet Hulk wrapped up, finally.
Wow. So is that good?
This book was just so disappointing. Like, the art was nice fine. Bunch. The writing was fine. The story was just terrible. Like, there just wasn't a point to it.
Is that Doc Green in that book?
We'll talk about Doc Green. So the whole premise of this book, you have Steve Rogers and, like, Gladiator Steve Rogers and Devil Dinosaur trekking to the Mud Kingdom because Bucky is...
funny. Is he riding the dinosaur? Like,
I think at one point he may have rode him, but for the most part, they're just kind of, like, they're partners.
They're just hanging out.
Yeah. Why would you not ride the dinosaur?
He's T-Rex very angry dinosaur. They've been very busy.
Yeah.
Not a lot of time for riding, Pat. They were down waterfalls.
You're supposed to
watch
the dinosaur.
Fighting Hulk.
Oh, you're right, Dave.
How's a dinosaur get on a waterfall? I think that would be very good.
Why are you asking so many questions?
Well, in his case, to be like this.
About that.
Dinosaurs get very dizzy, too.
Yeah.
Remember that game? Dizzy Dinosaur?
No.
Regardless.
We have nice watches. We know.
Interesting.
So like they're trying to get to the Mud Kingdom to face the Red King, which Doom has sent them on because he says that Bucky is captured by the Red King. So they make their way there, and along the way they encounter Doc Green, and Doc Green's been kind of helping out Steve Rogers in his quest. So he confronts the Red King and finds out that Bucky is dead.
Who's the Red King?
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
We actually never find out. I
so
was
all
wondering
that
as well.
All that story, he gets there and he finds out Bucky's dead.
I kind of thought the Red King might be Bucky at the end, but really, Bucky was killed, and Doom knew about it because Red King sent Bucky's head in a box back to Doom. So Doom knew and sent him on this thing, anyways.
Doom sent a thank you, but I'm good.
So Steve Rogers flips out and bashes Red King to little pieces with his shield.
That's a bit of an overreaction.
Yeah,
that
is,
seems a bit strong
it is,
for Cap.
Like, there's a whole page of Cap just taking his shield and smashing Red King to pieces. After he ambushed him, he agreed to join up with Red King against Doom, and then when Red King turned his back, he just started tearing him apart with his shield as blood splattering all over Captain America's face while he's holding his star-spangled shield, cutting into pieces.
That's like the end.
The so shield then, is now known as Lucille.
You know, when he says Red King, though, automatically I think of the Red King from that Planet Hulk book. Like, that's...
Well, you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then it's not even
this
like...
This book had no ties to Planet Hulk except for the
name.
Well,
it couldn't. Like,
really
when you said it, I was just
me.
Like, okay, how is this other planet somewhere
it's,
connecting
it's,
to Earth? But
no, it was dumb.
And then at the end, Glenda came and said, you had the ability to go home all the time, Steve.
That's how Secret War is going to end.
So then Doc Green shows up.
It's going to end with Doom waking up going, oh my God, I can't drink before bed.
I'm drinking.
He's in a shower. It was all dream sequence.
And you were
rusting.
Yeah.
Spider-Man was there.
So Doc Green shows up, and we find out that Doc Green knew that Bucky was dead the entire time as well, and that he was kind of just manipulating Steve Rogers. so that way he could become the ruler of the Mud.
So then kingdom. Steve Rogers chopped him to pieces with his sword. No.
Okay. Shield. I mean, shield.
Not quite yet.
Not quite yet?
So...
this, oh, sorry.
Mud must be a valuable commodity.
So, Steve Rogers, obviously, he's very angry. He just chopped the Red King to pieces. And then Doc Green decides to say how alike they are. And that Steve Rogers chopped to pieces because he has a little bit of Hulk in him, too. And he kind of just Hulked out a little bit. And it really was some terrible dialogue. So then, after Steve Rogers just chopped the Red King to pieces of the shield, Doc Green, to show how much alike they are, decided to, you know, de-Hulk himself. And you know who Doc Green was, Dave?
Bucky.
Amadeus.
Steve Rogers. A different Steve Rogers.
What?
Ba-ba-bom. Do you have a little Steve Rogers in? Would you like some?
That's a podcast.
It's taking a turn.
So, essentially, Steve Rogers has been teamed up with himself the entire time, and you find out that they, in their different worlds, were on the same path where he and Bucky were buddies, and they both decided to join up the war effort.
But Bucky was the Red King.
No.
Okay.
But in Doc Green, Steve Rogers' world, Bucky got killed, and that's what drove him to become who he was and, you know, be a better man and then a Hulk, whereas the Bucky staying alive held the other, our main Steve
so
Rogers
where's the
behind.
Other Steve Rogers from?
It didn't really
specify. Another Earth.
Yeah, another pizza.
He was one of the pizza. Yeah, he was on the topic. He fell off in the wrong place.
So then there's some, like, monologuing going on, and so all of a sudden you see Steve Rogers, Doc Green, laying on the ground with Steve Rogers' gladiator's axe in his chest, so he killed him, too. And then he and Double Dinosaur just, you know, take off into the sunset.
Wow.
Fist bump.
It was 5 issues. I can't get back.
What,
unless Colin,
don't ask questions. Trading?
No, is this the book where everybody's hulked? Like there was a Hulk bomb or something?
Yeah, like there was that gamma bomb that went off and everyone became hulked. There was that backup in the first issue.
Huh.
There was Hulk plants. There's Hulk everything.
Well, I was gonna say that kind of makes sense in that case, I guess, that Steve Rogers, that one maybe belonged there because he was the one who became. That was hit with a gamma bomb or something?
If he's from that.
But then where's this other one from is the question, really.
Well, the main one was from a different territory.
Yeah, different,
who was
but
sent
specify.
To find Bucky.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so that's why he's
yeah, there. He was sent by Doom to find Bucky.
Still, that's kind of...
Because Doom sent Bucky to his liaison.
Yeah.
But it's not 616 Cap because he's an old man.
Yeah. It's from some place that we don't even know.
It's just, I keep harping on it. I hate that they called it Planet Hulk.
It had nothing really to do with
it. It had nothing to do with Planet Hulk, aside from there being a bunch of Hulks. And Planet Hulk was so good, so to have this be such a letdown is just kind of disappointing.
Kind of like when Meek was a traitor. That kind of disappointing.
I forgot about him. Meek was an ass. No, I'm swearing. On the podcast.
That's
what's
allowed.
Up with you?
That
use
words,
that mouth in front
that
of your daughter.
What's the other two you use?
Of course you use that mouth. Duh. You can talk with your other mouth.
Yeah. All right, so that's Planet Hulk. Unity. So this ties up the arc with Warmonger. And I haven't been loving this arc. So far it's been very formulaic where there's an issue where Warmonger approaches one of the members of Unity and monologues for a long time about her history and, you know, who she is, and then she, you know, swiftly beats them in combat, and then the next issue starts up and it's the exact same thing. So she went through Ninjak and Livewire and the Eternal Warrior. Then we get to this issue where after she's defeated all these members of Unity, she goes to MI6 to kind of, you know, gloat about, you know, her accomplishments and confronts Neville Alcott. And the whole time this is being told from the perspective of like a C-lister hero or superhero in the Valiant universe he's been on retainer for MI6, but hasn't actually been used for anything. His ability is just to increase his gravitational pull so he can make himself very heavy if he needs to, but that's it. So she goes to MI6, confronts Neville Alcott, gloating how she destroyed the team, and finds out that it was all this big plan the whole time. And they actually mention how she really likes to talk about herself, and they just let her, you know, monologue the whole time. And I get that they tied it in as, you know, that was part of their plan, and it may make sense when you look at it as a whole. But for those three issues, it was getting kind of boring for the reader.
Was this the issue, the book that before you had a problem with? Because I don't know, you had a problem with a Valiant book just recently, not that a while back.
I was complaining about the Unity book.
I think that's what it was.
Because it's just this monologuing.
I think it was this one female character or something. Mm-hmm. She kept going.
Just keeps talking and talking and talking. Yeah. It was getting very repetitive. So I get that they were trying to say that was the whole plan. They were going to let her talk while they were, you know, getting her into this trap. Because at one point, when she's thinks she has Neville, he asks her, you know, when you were talking about yourself and going on and facing Livewire and Ninjak and Galad, what you really should have been asking is, where is Exo Manowar? And then he comes flying in and, you know, grabs her and takes her up into the atmosphere and then, you know, out into somewhere where she couldn't hurt anyone. And it was a good end to the arc. Like this issue itself was a really good issue, and it was a really good display of the Unity team, you know, together and seeing how each individual piece works and how powerful they are as a group. And it was a good way to showcase, you know, Warmonger's abilities and get rid of her in a way that made sense. It took a while to get there, and those first three issues in this arc just, I feel like by doing it that way, you could lose readers, because by, you know, two issues in where it's the exact same thing happening, people are going to say, I'm not interested in this, and jump off of it. So if that's your ultimate goal, is to, you know, in the end say, no, that was part of the plan to do it that way, it doesn't make sense, unless you're selling it just as a trade, not as individual issues. Yeah. But this issue was good. Just the arc was so-so. Also, Ninjak came out last week, and so this, he's going around and confronting all the members of this Shadow 7 group, who are essentially like the board of this Weaponeer organization that he is now implanted himself as the head of, undercover. And last issue, he went after the first member. In this issue, he goes up against the member Sanguine. And it was good, and you get Sanguine's backstory, and it was a good, you know, battle between them, and the issue was fun. But again, it's feeling like this might be a repetitive thing where each issue for the next, you know, five more months is just going to be him battling one of these members of the Shadow 7, which I think could get a little bit old after a while, because their origins are all seem pretty similar. Like her origin was with the Silent Monks, which is the same as what Roku's origin was and Kanan's origin was, and you find out that Ninjak had some ties to it as well. So I hope with the next five issues, it's not just, you know, cut and paste a different person in the same kind of scenario. And this is also written by Matt Kent, who is writing Unity, so it's unfortunate that both of his books right now have been kind of repetitive in that regard. So it's still fun, it's just after seven issues, I think it might be kind of old. And then Deadly Class from Rick Remender. This book has constantly been a mix of, like, stupid funny and really gruesome brutality. So, the main character, Marcus, I mean, he's in the school for assassins. It's in the 80s. And this kid's life is an absolute mess. And he just keeps digging himself into a deeper and deeper hole between, you know, getting these large altercations with these, you know, like racist, redneck, you know, group of killers, to sleeping with some girl that his roommate has a thing for, that they all call the troll, because she looks kind of like a troll. And this issue, he's has all these different problems he's trying to deal with. He's trying to figure out how to tackle the problems. He has one kid at the school, Victor, who knows what he and his group have been up to and says he has to turn in his friends to the headmaster, or he's going to turn all of them in. He has the girl that he had a thing for that is now with his, you know, friend Willie, and Willie lied about his background. He never actually killed anyone. And he tells everyone that Willie lied because he's jealous that he's with this girl he likes now. And then he also discovers that he may have herpes. So he goes to the clinic to get herpes taken care of, and he sees some girl online, and in his head he's thinking how his life's ruined, he has herpes, he's never going to be able to meet someone again, and he sees this girl, And he thinks, oh, she probably has herpes too. Oh, we could get married. We'll have kids. They might have herpes, but it'll be great. It'll be fine. I won't be lonely. And then she says, I'm here for my HIV meds. He's like, oh, never mind. So it's just like this stupid, you know, humor. But then after that, he decides he has to tackle one of these problems. So he decides to tackle their problem with Victor, where he can either rat on his friends, let Victor rat on them, or he can take matters in his own hands and decides to try and kill Victor. So it goes through his failed attempts to try and assassinate this kid. And he finally, you know, goes for him while the kid's in the shower, but he slips, and when he shoots him, he misses, and he ends up shooting one of the teachers at the school. And the kid runs off and runs into an assembly that was about to happen with the headmaster. So they both go in there, and he can't do anything at that point. So he's just kind of hiding amongst everyone else. And the book ends with them finding out. And you saw throughout all the issues that the headmaster's had problems with Marcus and his circle, like these group of students that don't come from a high profile, you know, crime family or don't have that pedigree. That some of the other, you know, students have. These are kind of like street rat students. So it ends with him telling, you know, all the students that they know there are rats among them and that some rats may survive because they're very resilient and tough, but they shouldn't just let the rats, you know, thrive without earning it. So he sets the entire school off to try and rid the whole school of these rats, of these students. So it's leading to, you know, students trying to flush out and assassinate like Marcus and his group of friends. So it's good. A lot happens. It's a really brutal, really crazy, but, you know, sometimes really funny book. It's one of Rick Remender's better books right now, I think. Which all of his Image books are really good. Like Colin and I were saying earlier, his Marvel stuff tends to be kind of hit or miss, but his indie stuff is always really solid. That's it for me.
That's all you got? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have two that I know nobody else read. One was Broken Moon, which was interesting. Set a little bit in the future. Every country has like sent stuff up to the moon to try to colonize the moon because we're running out of room on Earth. And of course, while they're up there, everybody gets into a fight and they won't know. Nobody knows who did it, but someone set off a nuke and broke the moon. And
great. So, broke the moon.
Right. Well, now there's chunks missing off the moon, and it's affecting the gravitational poles, and basically the Earth, you know, tidal shifts, all sorts of bad stuff. And so, and part of what happened with the moon breaking was it released the monsters, which were basically
Cthulhu?
Not Cthulhu, but vampires. Then took over the Earth, and they're
space vampires.
More like Earth, but like subterranean, and they came
They've
up
been
then.
Hiding, but yeah. Because of now, yeah.
And now, you know, so they're able to live. They're taking over, and it's this group of people, and they use humans like as cows, and, you know, keep them feeding. And some are trying to escape from these because they, you know, they don't want to be used like that. And then they go. This one group, they go running into these woods, and there's werewolves there, but they kind of protect them. And then, so at the end, there was a big showdown. It was actually quite good. It's from Famous Monsters.
Although these sparkly vampires.
No, they're definitely not. They're far more like 30 Days a Night vampires.
Okay, because then you said werewolves, and I'm thinking, but this is Twilight, something like
sparkly vampires.
Yeah.
So that was quite good. I wasn't expecting it. It was funny. I ordered a bunch only because there was a 1 in 10 variant that a customer wanted, but I ended up not getting it. It's coming next week. I don't know what happened there. But so I'm like, well, geez, I got 10 of these. You know, and I'm not a book I'm looking to sell a ton of, you know. And so I took it home to read it. I sold a bunch. So I'm actually very happy with how it did. I probably sold 4 of the 6 or 4 of the 10. So that's, or 6 of the 10. So that's good. That's
made your money back.
Yeah, I'm good there. And then the other one I read was Gravedigger, which, Pat, did you read the first one?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we kind of looked at it here.
Yeah, where it's very much based, and it was funny, there's a little thing in the back talking about it, and he said, the writer told the artist, he wants him to kind of look like Lee Marvin. It's like, it's very much a 70s PI type thing, you know, very pulpish. And he's like, you know, think Lee Marvin when you're thinking the main character, not, you know, somebody flashy, you know, not Tom Cruise or anything, somebody a little grittier, a little more rugged. Well, of course, the guy draws him exactly like Lee Marvin. And he's like, you know, and now, sadly, he cannot think of the character without thinking Lee Marvin. But the book was great. And I'm a little confused only because it said 2 of 3, but it clearly is an end. And so I don't know if there's going to be a third one, so I'm not sure what's going on. But they were really good. And I love the pulps. I love the John D. McDonald. I read all that throughout college, the Travis McGee books and then other stuff. I love reading his just pulp novels from the 60s. I have all but one. But so it really had this great feel of that. And it's in the Florida Everglades, and they're taking him out to kill him, and they're on an airboat, and of course it crashes, and alligators and everything. It was great. The problem was, it was originally a webcomic, and so it's printed landscape. And just reading it was a pain in the butt, because you can't hold it open. It's just very awkward, and that really, really annoyed me to great extent. So that's all I read other than other books that we're already talked about. So, and I'm going to talk about two of this week's books at the end. So,
spoilers.
Not spoilers, but I want people
to
try these. Yeah, it highlights. Yeah, not a full review like you guys did, especially like with Suiciders, where you gave away everything. So.
Man, that's I'm still blown away because I feel like at some point, Straniero, I remember his name, saw like a poster or something of the angel in a previous issue.
The saint.
Or the saint, yeah. Not the angel, the saint. But now that you say it, it makes so much sense. I can't wait for the next issue. When they say like this, when's
it? Yeah, it's
2016.
Yeah, 2016.
God. Hey, so right around when Secret Wars wraps up. Okay. Yeah.
It's like Welcome to LA, I think is called.
I don't know. You ever think you know something, and then someone says something that seems so obvious?
Say, you're going to keep you up all night retracing your steps through this.
I'm probably going to read all six issues again.
Yeah,
I could be wrong, but I
don't think you are. It makes so much sense, and it would be such a cool way to finish off this first arc.
I don't know. I don't know why it's taking so long.
What?
No, the Pirates are down by one, bottom of the eighth, bases loaded.
You thought he was talking about that.
I don't like
you. You were about ready to tell him how nice his lunch was.
Okay, what you got?
All right, I just have two. I guess this was IDW week for me because they're both IDW books. The first one is The 7% Solution, which number one was like the week before. So the first two came out, and this is it's Sherlock Holmes story. And so this one picks up where the first issue ended with Watson visiting Sherlock Holmes' brother because he's the only person who's probably as smart as, if not smarter than Holmes, because they got to trick him to try to get him to Vienna because he wants to get him to Sigmund Freud, who may have, become known for trying to get people off of cocaine, which Holmes is clearly addicted to, according to Watson. So...
Is this Benedict Cumberbatch?
No.
Okay. That's a different one. Well, no, because it's IDW and they do a lot of the licensed stuff.
Yeah,
since it's
but no, I think it's just Sherlock Holmes.
Okay. So,
I think it's set more in olden times, not in present.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So, this is the London, the original London, kind of Holmes. So, So basically, they go to Moriarty's house where Holmes is, posted, watching, and they have to wait. So Holmes eventually leaves because it's kind of a miserable night. So they get in, they sneak in to see Moriarty, and they convince him that, he's got to go to Vienna because Holmes will assume that he's going for something nefarious. And then when he gets to Vienna, they'll do the, he'll end up with Freud, and then he's stuck, and then Freud will try to be able to fix him there. So they, get away before Holmes comes back. So then, Holmes eventually shows up at Watson's house, and tells him the game is afoot, and, he's had visitors, and he's left. And the one detail I can't remember, like, somewhere along the way, Holmes acquires a dog that he uses regularly, so he borrows this dog. And somehow he put, he said it was vanilla extract, like, near the entrance to Moriarty's house, so the dog can follow that, you know, like, easier than it can pick up, like, other scents. Somehow it lasts, like, from London all the way across Europe to Vienna, which I'm not sure if that actually would work or not, but we'll go with that as part of the story. But so basically, you know, it's just, you know, them, you know, with their dog, you know, train hopping and, you know, across Europe, you know, from station to station, trying to, you know, stay on the scent. And the one thing that Watson's, you know, in a way, he's kind of worried that if Holmes isn't using the cocaine, like, he falls out of, when he's not on the cocaine, he falls out of the Holmes mode, and he's kind of nuts, you know, basically kind of thing, and just all over the place and not coherent in any way, shape, or form, you know. So, but he doesn't have to worry because Holmes is continuing to, like, disappear with his bag periodically. And so the issue ends with them in Vienna, and they follow, last cab to a house, and, you know, Holmes is convinced he's cornered Moriarty. And it's actually Sigmund Freud who comes out to greet him. So he's, like, all confused about who it is, kind of. So that's where it's going to pick up. And and Pat, you weren't here last week, but the kind of the pretext to the whole thing.
You talked about 2 weeks ago.
It 2 weeks ago? Okay. Yeah, just that, you know, this was, like, a story that Watson never told, you know, but now Moriarty and Holmes are both dead, so now he's kind of recounting the story. That's sort of what sets it all up. So I think it's only a 5-part series, so it's almost halfway, actually. And then the second book I read was Tet, number one.
Okay.
Which I thought was pretty good. It obviously is Vietnam, takes place in Vietnam, at least partially. It starts out with a lieutenant who's in Vietnam, and just the first, you know, kind of quick page is sort of like, yeah, I got off to kind of a bad start, you know. So this guy was basically in, you know, kind of the meat grinder situation, like, right off the bat. So, you know, things couldn't get too much worse. So for his own health, I guess, at some point he gets transferred to, like, Quay City, and he's just acting as a translator there. So he's kind of, you know, has some sense of normalcy after all the bad stuff that happened early on his tour. And so basically they show him with kind of a buddy of his going around. And so, he drops his buddy off, and then he goes and visits, and he's got a girl there. And, you know, she's basically his fiance. And, you know, they're going to, you know, her plan is, you know, once everything's over, they're going to get away from all the craziness and go back to, he's from Indiana, you know, go back to Indiana, and, you know, they're going to get married there because, they, you know, that'll be like a sense of normalcy kind of thing after everything that they've both kind of lived through over there. So then the book flashes from, it's actually 1968 it starts, and then it flashes to 1984 in Indiana, where the guy is aged, you know, and he's kind of hobbled, he's got a cane. And so the mailman shows up, and he's, like, you know, quite eager to get down. And the mailman's convinced that, you know, it's because there's, you know, like a VA check in there, kind of, that he's just interested in that. But there's actually something from the VA, and then there's also a letter that's got a postmark from Vietnam on it, too. So you never really see anything that's going on in there, but he basically reads, you know, this letter and kind of crumples it up, and he's sort of frustrated. So then I guess let me just make sure I'm not getting too much of the story out of order there. And then so then it goes back to Vietnam, and it picks up where this guy that he'd been running with was killed. And it turns out he was actually an intel guy, it turns out. His buddy, he didn't really know exactly. He didn't know him that well. But so now that he's been killed, and he was killed in the company of a Vietnamese that this guy doesn't know, so he's attached to as like a liaison to the national police officer, the inspector who's going to do the investigation. And as they're going around trying to talk to people, he's like going, well, yeah, I left him at this club here, you know, where he goes all the time with all these girls. So basically everybody's like, nope, don't know anything about this guy. I never saw him before. You know, I have no idea who he was, you know. So he's kind of perplexed because everybody's clammed up all of a sudden. And it turns out that the guy he was killed with is suspected of, you know, regularly meeting with communist agents. So the police had been watching him, too. And, yeah, so this guy has no clue that any, you know, what this guy could have been about kind of thing. So finally they run into the dead Vietnamese gentleman's neighbor, who basically says, yeah, this American guy was here all the time. You know, they were doing stuff. So that's kind of where it ends. And then, you know, like at the tail end, basically there's a flare going up, which is the signal. And the Tet Offensive is going to start like the next day kind of, or that night sort of thing.
He's still in way.
He's still in way, yeah. So so basically it's like this, his buddy is dead, you know. So, and I think the preview all basically said, you know, it's kind of like this murder mystery kind of thing that hops back and forth between, you know, Vietnam and like present day sort of thing. So he's still, you know, so he's trying to figure it out, I guess, in both, you know, scenario, you know, both time frames still kind of thing. So it's sort of a mystery. And so, I mean, it seemed like it was off to a pretty good start.
Cool.
So, and it's only a 4-issue thing too, so it's going to move pretty quickly, I would suspect. So that's it for me. Thanks.
Cool. The two that came out today that I wanted to talk about, just as they surprised me a little. Well, not one didn't surprise me. One was awesome, and I knew it was going to be great. But the second one surprised me. The first one is Tokyo Ghost, Rick Remender and Sean Gordon Murphy, and just awesome. It's Remender being. Neat ideas. He's got this, it basically takes place in the future. Everybody has like this nanotech in them so they can kind of disconnect from the world and just submerge themselves in basically like the internet. Just
they can be in the internet.
Right. And the main character is completely like straight edge, nothing to do with that. And she basically rides around with a cop. Who's hunting for this one particular bad guy, but he's almost totally given in. And like, he has this screen in front of his face where he's just seeing, you know, porn ads and all this stuff. And she's, you know, trying to walk him through it, you know, hey, we got to get this and stuff. But art is amazing. He got to draw his cars. The guy drives this big motorcycle that's got these treads. It's just, the art is just amazing. Big 2-page spreads, like I said, which annoyed me only because I know they'll be very expensive, but the visually was just fantastic. So, the other one is, what was it? What about the Repo Men?
Paybacks.
And basically what it is if you can't afford to pay for your gear, when the paybacks come, you basically have to join them and work for the man who lent you the money. And
superhero gear.
Superhero gear, yes. Like, you know, you decide to, you know, get your crime fighting outfit.
Batman uses the Batmobile but can't afford it.
Right. Right. But it's not, I thought it was going to be really silly and, you know, like damage control miniseries and stuff. What?
I've heard about this before. I don't remember where I heard this
last week. Last week.
Is that what you talked about last week?
Yeah. But it was really, really, really different and really good. I really thought it was just going to be silly, quirky fluff, you know, but there was really a good story. The characters you really like. There is some humor. One of the characters is, and it's funny when you open it up, and they're showing you the characters, and one is almost identical to Shatterstar. He's got the boxing gear and the ponytails and stuff, and it's like definitely, you know, making fun of different versions of characters. I think the main character that they go to recoup from was Night-Night.
Batman.
Like Dark Knight, but yeah, but it was Night-Night. But oh, it was really, really good.
The cover
very
looks
enjoyable.
Like it's the Repo.
It does. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. But like Night-Night has his horse, that's a unicorn that talks to him. And one thing you notice, there's a blurb on the cover and from somebody saying, my favorite thing was that Night-Night never rides his horse, and he doesn't the whole time. He's either walking beside the horse or they jumping over roofs independently. Just little things like that were very clever and funny, but there was some interesting stuff to this. Really good. Really, really good.
And the writers are coming here, right?
The writers are coming here October 6th and also doing a comedy show that night. So, and then October 7th is the Iron Man party and release day. thing, so we'll, you know, do something.
Iron Man party.
Yeah, well, release day festivities, whatever.
Do repulsors?
No.
That would be awesome. Playing with them in it. Store blowing up stuff.
Then also September next Saturday is Batman Day. That I don't honestly I don't know really what I'm doing. Other than I'm going to have the Batman things related? To give away. Some Batman really. The problem is I'm going to be at the Diamond Summit coming home Friday night. So I'm leaving Wednesday morning, coming home Friday night. So my prep time for it is
so going to be double points and everything.
Is pretty much yeah. Is going to be very compromised. But that's DC's fault for scheduling something on. A day that they know people aren't going to be in their stores.
I find it funny that they have a Batman Day because I think of all their properties, that's the one that needs the least help selling.
Well, but I think that's the one that has the biggest outside yeah. thing because looking at the way they're doing this, like they said, hey, you know, contact us to see about getting an artist or a writer for your store. And you're looking at Jim Lee's going to be at Barnes & Noble and Scott Snyder's going to be at a Barnes & Noble.
Because they can afford them.
And, right, but I'm just, and they're all with their local. Barnes & Noble. So, like, for me, being able to get somebody wasn't going to happen.
I'm just going to be at the Barnes & Noble up at South.
Who knows? But, so it's very much keyed towards those stores. And that's one of the things that concerns me, only because the guy taking over for Bob Wayne, who's in charge of sales, was the former guy who was in charge of Warner Home Video sales. So he knows the big box stores, and that's what he's focusing on.
Okay, but Pittsburgh was a stand-in for Gotham.
Yeah.
So we should have somebody here.
Sorry.
The hell, DC.
But, and then
Daniel
the
Adams.
Yeah. One other thing. The order is due next Thursday, at which point I am going to be in Baltimore. So if there's anything in the current previews that you're interested in or want to make a pre-order of to help me out, please let me know, like, by Tuesday, if you can. I can
How will they let you know?
Just, well, hang on. We'll get to that. But I can always make updates, you know, but on my iPad there. But trust me, it's a lot easier because I'm going to have to get it done this weekend.
While you got your anniversary sale going on.
And then this Saturday is going to be the anniversary sale. It's going to be a big sale. I'll probably, you know, make it fun and exciting. It's a big thank you to you guys, so... Pretty much everything will be on sale.
That's not usually the something you word you say to him. Like fire truck?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do something a little different, a little more fun. I'm going to go through the store kind of gathering stuff, and I'm going to do like a Chinese auction. So for every $5 you spend, you get a ticket, and you can put it in a, you know, the... I guess the paper bag, yeah. Yeah, the basket at the different things. And I'll have, like, a Walking Dead compendium, grab some action figures, some, you know, some omnibuses, things like that. So, you know, there's nothing to you. You just, you know.
Omnibuy.
Whatever. You put it in the thing. So I thought that would make it at least a little bit fun. Do some stuff there. So we'll do that. Somebody asked if I was cooking out, and I said probably not. The cookout really only is effective on Free Comic Book Day. I've tried it other times, and it doesn't seem to be a ton of interest. We'll have cookies and stuff. We did, remember, for the 6th anniversary, Sandy went to Bethel Bakery and got a
big cake.
Well, it was a big, it was cupcakes in the shape of 6. And then they iced the whole thing over, and there was icing everywhere. I was scrubbing it out of the carpet, and so we might just do cookies. I'll run to Sam's Club and get some trays of cookies.
I think I mentioned that, because I was here for that, that... It seems like cupcakes and comic books.
No, because, I mean, with the Marvel parties, they always want you to do cake and stuff like that, and it just never doesn't really work out. So, yeah, we'll do cookie. Yeah, we won't do pizza. No, pizzas are bad. No. So that's Saturday. So if you get a chance, please come down Saturday, because it is really just a way of me to thanking you. I mean, yes, you'll spend money, but... It is a big thank you from me.
You're not doing a very good job of right now.
No, but I'm just saying.
Sell it. It's for me, but really,
the
money.
But it is a way. No, but it is a way for me.
Pay me for my appreciation.
Yeah.
That's not what I mean.
You can have an appearance by the Suicide Squad.
Well, that's over.
That's
now.
A nice watch, Pat. He was wanting to say it.
No. So next week, giving up. Now, if you come in Wednesday, I won't be here Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. So don't panic if you don't see me. My brother-in-law Dan will be here. Please be nice to him because he was here when I was in San Diego. just, you know, he doesn't know where everything is, and he doesn't know exactly, you know, what all's going on.
Like a story, like, he was, like, he did, they panicked, and he was just like, smack it, he wants me to come in on Wednesday.
You can come, yeah, I do want you to come in on Wednesday, yeah.
Good.
Adam, you know, he
doesn't know where anything is.
No, that's true, that's true. So yeah, so be nice to Dan, he's doing me a big favor. So next week, it's a little bit later week, so it's kind of good, but it scares me what the last week, the 30th, is going to be, only because it's like DC's going to have some annuals, and I have no idea what Marvel books are going to be coming out.
Maybe
so, no, well, true. So we have 1872 number 3, and that's what confuses me. It's like, this clearly has at least 4, you know, it's got to be at least 4. So when's 4 coming out, if it was supposed to wrap up, you know, so all these things are a little bit late, especially because that was a June book, so this should have come out in August, so this is late.
Now that book has been good, so we'll see if it can
continue. It's been good, but it's another one of those, how does this tie in with Secret Wars at all?
I'd rather not tie in a Secret Wars.
Right, but then what was the point? You know, that's my thing, is all these...
The point is to put out an enjoyable book, unlike the
right, well, I understand, but it was Battle Worlds and War Zones.
I get that, but all the books have tied in have been...
Has nothing to do with anything, except somehow Red Wolf is going to transition out of this book into the Marvel Universe.
As Pat said, they pooped the bed. That's what I just said.
Okay, Book of Death, number 3. Captain America, or Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps, number 4. Booyah.
Cyborg?
No Cyborg.
You said Booyah.
He doesn't
Cyborg
get it.
Says
he doesn't.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
He's not a cartoon.
Deadpool versus Thanos, number 2. Deathstroke, number 10. Doctor Who, the Four Doctors, finally wrapping up its 5 issue.
That book surviving Deathstroke.
It does well.
Really?
No. Okay. So it's doing well for me, and I don't want to say I'm indicative, but that one's doing just fine. Whereas Captain Marvel and Carol Corps, not so good.
Because that sounds like a winner.
Exit Generation, don't know what it is, but Fight Club, Fight Club 2, number 5. Flash. And we're getting Captain Cold finally. The action figure. The Shield book is Fury with Nick Fury. I don't. Maybe it's going to be Nick and Junior. So that could be awesome.
Junior Fury.
It's going to be the Fury.
The Fury. Yeah, there we go.
The Furies.
Hellboy in Hell number 8. This one's back with a vengeance. Inhumans: Atalan Rising number 4-5. Oh. Joker Endgame hardcover, which is
that just came out.
Batman Endgame. So I think this is going to be all those Endgame tie-in books. Okay. I think I ordered too many, but that's okay. Canon number 6, the Star Wars book. That's Kanan. Kanan. How to say it? Kanan. Okay. You said Kanan. He said Kanan.
I thought the cartoon there called him Kanan.
The Kanan.
Kanan.
Okay. Nameless number 5. That one was due out in June.
Yeah, that one's another one. That's...
Power Cube number 1. I'm not sure what that is. That's a Dark Horse book. Previews. New Previews comes out next week. Public Relations, which was supposed to come out a while ago. It was on my invoice a while ago and didn't show up. Runaways number 4. Spire number 3. I don't know if you guys have been reading that, but that's from the same creative team that did Six Gun Gorilla. Really neat book. Much different. Well, no, I don't want to say much different. It's similar in tone to the Six Gun Gorilla part that took place on the other planet, where other stuff was going on. This is about this huge spire that's like is a city in this giant spire in the desert. Extinction Agenda and Years of Future Past. So, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff, but those are really kind of the biggies. And as always, if you want to get a hold of me, at least through Tuesday, you can find me on Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter at PGH Comics, also Instagram at PGH Comics if you want to see pictures of the fun books I'm pricing. As I find bizarre things like Death of Steve Trevor and Second Appearance of Sabretooth, I've been having fun posting those pictures.
You gave away that Steve Trevor died.
Yeah, it was back in the 70s, so I figured I was safe. It was about like 40 years ago. You can always email me at Colin at PittsburghComics.com.
Just like Steve Trevor died.
Or come by the store.
Well, he had a good life.
He lived a while. 91. He had a nice watch.
So there may or may not be a podcast next week. It's if these guys want to come and do it. I won't be here, and I'm not calling in. I'll be at an open bar, man. That ain't going to happen.
That might make it even better.
Yeah. So that's all I got for this week.
That's a podcast.
They may talk to you next week, probably. Definitely come out Saturday if you can. And we'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Bye.
Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like